much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, everyone, as you know, one of my favorite things is fanfare for its own sake. So without further ado, let's all start clapping.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Chemo, chymo, stare, stare, mahi, maho, marum, sticker, pump, a nigga, soup, bang, nip, pat, carlamage, cameo.
Okay, I give up. I think we should move on to our next guest.
Why? Because I got it. Why do I got it? Because I roll in it. Why do I roll in it? Because I got tires on my truck, bitch. What kind of tires? None of your business, but they big.
That's what she said.
I deserve delicious sausage.
Is meat on the menu this week?
I'm now.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich, and I'll put it in my mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, man, you said it. Don't look at us.
Come on now.
You're the one, man.
But that's out of context.
But is it?
Is it really?
Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it is kind of out of context. Hey, what's up, party people? It's Thursday, 21st of April. Today's National Random Drug Testing Day. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Not, but I wish I would have been.
Well, it's on purpose because it's the day after 420.
So ah.
That's why they do that. We got a huge show today, as I know, but I have to tell you the story, Kevin, and you probably have seen it because you like to stay current when it comes to soccer. Soccer is your thing.
Yeah, it is.
Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in the world.
I was surprised. You're not going to tell me about the game yesterday, are you? Because I haven't watched it yet.
Yep, sorry.
Oh, shoot. Go ahead.
I was surprised to find out this because, you know, I don't follow the European soccer very much. I know you watch a lot of games and whatnot. They are, you know, one of the premier clubs in the world, one of the two or three most famous clubs in all of soccer
right,
history.
Right, right.
But they have, you know, for them, it's like when the Yankees don't go to the World Series for 3 years, people are like, what? They haven't won a trophy of any kind in 3 years. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
And they had not won the country, the best of Spain trophy, the Copa del Rey. They had not won that in 18 years.
Right.
And yesterday they did. Sorry to spoil it for you. Yesterday they beat Barcelona 1-0 in extra time. But that's not the story. I mean, that's a huge deal. 60,000 people show up in downtown Madrid for the bus to come. And I guess they don't do it like we do it in America where the parade happens a few days later. After the game, they hop on the bus and they head on down with the trophy to celebrate with their fans, right?
Wow.
So, it was a big deal. A big deal for them. So one of their defenders, Sergio Ramos, is holding the cup up in the air as they're going, you know, through the streets and everything, and he drops it.
Sweet!
He drops the cup onto the pavement, onto the cement.
Oops.
Or as they say in Spain, oops. It rolls in front of the bus, and the front right wheel of the bus rolls over the trophy
Sweet.
And shatters it.
Awesome!
So when the club got to where they were going, to the plaza where they celebrate, they have a stand there to put the trophy on. And they couldn't put I guess they could have put pieces of the trophy on it if they wanted
That's
to.
That's great.
So, let me see. The trophy is in pieces. I lost the part where they said they gathered up. Oh, here we go. Emergency services gathered up the broken pieces and returned them to the bus. So they do plan to repair it, and they say it is not in good shape. It was run over by a bus. As a spokesperson for the club, it must be fixed. But they do plan that they will return it, and then it will take its place alongside the other hardware at the trophy case at the club museum.
It's going to be Sergio Ramos is going to be sitting there with glue. All right, put that back together, you a-hole. You don't drop the cup.
He, because he's a celebrity, and of course he can't just admit that he screwed up and dropped the trophy, he had to have some lame defense. And here's what he tweeted after the event, after the ceremony was over and he got back home.
Oops.
The whole thing about the cup was a misunderstanding.
Oh.
It didn't fall. It jumped off when it reached the fountain and saw so many Madrid fans.
Oh, wow.
So clearly he's joking, but it is funny that that's what he's trying to tell people.
Yeah.
So.
No,
so Barcelona
is my favorite soccer team in the world other than the Galaxy.
Oh, so this is sad news for you.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be happy to know it was a header from Ronaldo that won the game for him.
Yeah,
so now
great.
I've not only spoiled the outcome and the score, but now I've told you how it happened. So now even if you watch it, there's no chance you'll enjoy it.
Oh, that hurts. That's painful.
I mean, look.
That's not how I want to find out my scores.
This is a big deal, and of course it's you win the championship of an entire country. Obviously, that's a deal, but it's not like the Stanley Cup getting destroyed. I mean, It's not to that level.
It is
as
to
it
them.
Would be for us.
You know.
I don't know. Is it the same cup? Is it the same cup that goes around year to year?
Oh yeah, I don't know if they make a new one or not. Or
that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
So good times, yeah. Right?
Great, dropped it. Hey, sorry about that, everyone.
Not only dropped it, not only hit the ground, bus ran over it.
Wow. Note to self: don't hand trophy to Sergio Ramos.
There you go. In case you're ever in that situation, I hope you remember your own advice.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Except for the part where they won. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich, and I'll put it in my mouth.
Wow. We are going to talk on the phone to a guy about a competition where they make grilled cheese sandwiches.
That's Yay! What I'm talking about. I can't believe it's been a year already since the Invitational. I'm so excited.
The Grilled Cheese Invitational is happening apparently this weekend. And we're going to talk to Tim Walker, who is one of the founders.
Mm-hmm. Gets bigger every year.
It does get bigger every year. And I'm unclear on how this all came down, but usually we have them come in and make us a sandwich.
Right.
Because grilled cheese is maybe the best sandwich in the world.
It does sound like someone dropped the ball to turn this into a phoner, because I don't know how that gets you delicious grilled cheese.
Right. And in the past, we don't really care what it sounds like to the audience. We enjoy our grilled cheese, so we have men. But,
right.
Hey, how's that going on the phone? I don't know that that's going to be quite as satisfying.
So tell us about the bread. How's it looking?
Yeah. How did that sandwich taste? Oh, great. So we got that coming up today. We have Adam Carolla on the program today with This Week in Rage. We have Big Four tickets for you today. That's happening this weekend. Next week, by the way, we're rolling into the Stagecoach tickets.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, giving away those country music festival tickets.
You can have your Metallica. Give me some good old-fashioned Alan Jackson.
We are going to play you the latest from Wing, who is one of our favorite singers of all time. Maybe our favorite singer of all time. On the bad scale. She's the best that there is. We're going to talk to Petros Papadakis about Major League Baseball taking over the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a baseball fan, and I did not see this story, but I do know that the owners, the McCourts, who have been going through a divorce, have been disgraceful in the way they run the team. Did they have to sell? Is that the story?
I didn't follow very much of the story today. I was going to get caught up on it today. But Beer Mug, it was the financial disclosure that killed him. It wasn't even the divorce and all of that, right? It was that they don't have – you have to have a certain amount of money in the bank, kind of, in order to run a team. Is that right?
I'm not sure on the specifics, but I know Bud Selig stepped in and said, hey, we gotta handle the Dodgers now.
Love it. Well, we're going to get caught up to speed on what it means today.
It's weird when a team, and like I said, I don't care about baseball, but I know a lot of you do. It's weird if your team gets taken over by the league instead of the owners. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, the owners blow.
Right. So nobody's sad to see the owners not be able to run it. That's
right.
For sure.
It's a horrible situation. You want it taken away from them and given to anyone else. Clippers. We also have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Not a doctor.
He is a doctor for the last time. Is.
Yeah, when I see the president's birth certificate, it's going to be the time where I see the whatever they give Dr. Drew when he allegedly graduated from medical school.
Dr. Drew is a doctor, just like Dr. Dre, for example.
Oh, well, when you put it that way,
he's a doctor as well. And we're going to talk to Dave Gahan.
What?
How about that?
Didn't he used to be in a band called Depeche Mode?
He did. He was the lead singer.
Wow.
We're going to talk to him on the show today as well. How about that? That's bizarre. So that's coming up. We'll take a break now, and we will do the Showbiz Beat next.
Let me tell you something about the Kevin and Bean Show. People may not realize. Yeah, they're enjoying the show from time to time, but we're dream makers. We hear you. We hear you, and we make your dreams come true. And that's why Local H, Bound for the Floor, ladies and gentlemen, is coming up next.
Yes.
Kevin and Bean Show. That's the song you woke up today and said, I can't wait to hear if Kevin and Bean play Local H. Yes. Yes, we're doing it for you.
We will do it for you.
Hey, Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat. How are you, man?
Dream makers.
That's us.
Nightmare Factory.
You make your dreams come
that.
True, Ralph.
The Nightmare Factory. How about that?
We're dream crushers for poor Ralph Garman.
That was my fighting name back when I was a pro boxer. Ralph Nightmare Factory Garman.
I like it.
Couldn't fit it on the robe, though, so we had to change it up. Yeah.
Ralph, every Thursday, I'm very excited, looking forward to you coming in the room because you're my idol, buddy. Why is this the season of F-bombs on American Idol? Is this at least the third time this season that Fox has had to dump because of the F-word?
Didn't watch last night.
What?
Not really interested.
Because no pee and no peace?
Just kind of over it. Yeah, pee is part of it. I don't really like a lot of the people that are on it now. I've grown to...
What about my boy Casey?
Excellent!
I saw a clip this morning. He looked like a major douchebag last night. Like stomping around the stage, like fast walking or something with his guitar slung over his back. I just saw a clip. He looked like an ass.
Why was he doing that?
I have no idea.
It was a great performance.
Yeah,
and
he should be murdered.
And he should win, and he ended up kissing Jennifer Lopez during his performance.
Well, enjoy that,
see that
boy.
Every day.
See, the wife's out of town, so I didn't have to watch Idol last night.
Sweet.
Wow, I can't believe I lost Ralph.
Yeah,
it used to be you would
turn it on. No more, huh?
Yeah, I'm just sort of over it.
All right. Fantastic.
Watched me some hockey
last
night. Caught up on some stuff. I had TiVo'd. It was sweet. It was a sweet
evening.
Well,
just so you know, your girl Pia was on the show last night and singing and had an unbelievable dress on that you would have enjoyed very much.
Yeah. They have this thing called the internet now where you can see all kinds of photos of all kinds of things.
What?
It's true.
That'd be cool.
It's true.
Katy Perry's on tonight. I know that much. I might tune in for that. Just to watch her hop around all booby and whatnot. But not so much feeling it now. I'm sort of,
right,
you know, first
bad,
of all, the best American Idol seasons drag out, which for what feels like a baseball season's worth of programs.
Yeah, they do a lot of filler.
Which is my new measuring stick for interminably boring and long. I just call it a baseball season.
Does it seem like a baseball season?
It does seem like a baseball season. I think about 17 games into a 162 game season right now with American Idol. I was like,
Well, right. There's only going to be six left after tonight.
Six too many. That's all I'm saying.
But they're four-hour shows, right? I mean,
sure, you do get a lot of that. At least there's no filler or Ford commercials. That's what I like about the show now.
Yeah.
There's no commercials of them being zombies trying to get into a car.
That happened. Come on now.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Apparently, no more Justin Bieber love in Israel. They're not digging him in Israel.
I've had it.
Showing again the good taste the Jews have, by the way.
What's that about?
Apparently, his April 14th concert in Tel Aviv drew only 17,000 fans in a venue that holds close to 60,000.
Oh,
dude,
man.
Now, 17 sounds like a lot until you're standing in a stadium that holds 60 grand. And you're looking around, and you're like, oh, there's a lot of empty seats out there.
Sure, not very many people here.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
But don't feel bad, because Justin still made $1 million for his 90-minute show, so he's fine.
They paid him anyway?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's good.
He probably gets a guarantee every time he plays now.
I'm sure. Speaking of the Biebs, Justin Bieber has said he thinks Charlie Sheen is the most influential person in the world.
Fantastic.
He told the New York Post that Charlie is indeed a rock star from Mars and is always winning.
Okay.
You're a little behind on that whole winning thing there, Justin.
Yeah.
He also said he's astonished how Charlie managed to get 1 million followers on Twitter in just 24 hours. Big fan, Justin Bieber of Charlie Sheen.
He should do fewer interviews and more just being cute.
Yeah. He should do something with that mouth of his besides sing and talk.
He does seem like a douchebag.
He does.
I mean, really. And it's coming from a place like I never liked him or loved him.
Right. There's plenty of people whose music I don't like who I can look and say, oh, they seem like a pretty cool person.
Right.
Though.
He's not that guy.
He is not that guy.
No.
He seems like a bit of an arrogant douchebag.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
Right. There's that, too.
World's biggest
douchebag. Lady Gaga and
Guilty.
Weird Al Yankovic going at it. Going at it yesterday. It was on, like Donkey Kong.
It was on yesterday between those two
powerhouses. Weird Al blogged yesterday that he had his new single all set for his next album. And it was a parody of Gaga's Born This Way, entitled I Perform This Way.
Right.
In which he sort of gently prods and mocks her over-the-top style when it comes to her clothing and traveling in an egg and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, she's over the top?
A little bit. So Al made fun of that and then said she wouldn't give him permission to release the single, so he leaked it yesterday on YouTube for people to watch because he was sort of angry that they strung him along and then didn't give him permission, and all the proceeds of the single were going to go to charity, so he was especially peeved.
So what happened yesterday with her?
She came out and announced that that's just not the case. She never said that he couldn't release it. So now we know Al Yankovic is a big fat liar. That's what we know. He's a lying sack of goo.
Well, now I hate to jump in here.
Who is a liar? Who should lie until he's dead and go into the grave lying with the lying liar that he is with a lie.
Ralph's doing this because he knows that being worshipped.
I do worship Weird Al. And what really happened is the manager of Lady Gaga told Weird Al that she had turned it down, that she had refused permission.
Uh-huh.
And then he found out yesterday, you know, straight from Gaga, that the manager had never even played it for Gaga. He turned it down for her, which certainly is consistent with the experience we've had with the people who represent celebrities, that the information never even gets to the celebrity. Gaga had never heard it. When Gaga was played it yesterday, she loved it. Full thumbs up. Go ahead and put it out with my blessing.
Yeah, I wonder how sales are going to be now that it's been available for free on the internet. How much money are you raising for a human rights campaign now?
Yeah.
Lying Weird Al Yankovic.
He did
with
lie.
With your lying. You don't deserve to get any money, you liar, because you lie. And liars should not be rewarded for their lying lies who lie with lying-ness.
All I know is that Lady Gaga crumbled under the power that is the great Weird Al.
We've always
known. She's mortal, just like we are.
We've always known Al was a liar. And no
Al is
goddamn
not a liar.
Good. And
Al
now
is the
we've
best
got
human
proof.
In the world.
Now we've got proof, that's all
He's
I'm
the
saying.
Greatest man that ever lived.
Liar.
Bean believes that, by the way. That's not just...
He's better
hyperbole.
Than Jesus.
Liar who lies.
Wow.
And casting news. Looks like Kate Beckinsale may have landed one of the lead female roles opposite Colin Farrell in the remake of Arnold Schwarzenegger's film Total Recall. She'll have the role played by Sharon Stone in the original, which basically launched Sharon Stone as a star. But if you remember the film at all, Schwarzenegger is having these vague feelings like he's had another life before, and Sharon Stone plays his wife, and it turns out she's actually sort of his handler. And the secret organization that made Arnold, imprinted the false memories in Arnold's mind, kept her alongside him just to keep him in check. And he finds out that she's actually a double agent, and chaos ensues.
But did she really love him? And then
no, she turns out she didn't. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part.
I hear that's one of the greatest science fiction movies ever.
Total Recall? It's certainly, in my opinion, Schwarzenegger's best film.
Yeah.
But... doing the remake with Colin Farrell and Kate Beckinsale on the screen is always a good idea, in my opinion.
I agree.
You know why? It's not a lying liar like Weird Al Yankovic, that's why. She seems like an honest lady, and I appreciate
it. You know what I hear about Al?
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
I know he lies. I know he's a big fat liar, tries to make other people look bad for his own failures. I know.
Or someone lied to him, mm-hmm. and that was the information he passed along to his fans.
Isn't that just what a liar would tell you, to try to cover his own lying ass?
That's
what you'd say. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Iggy Pop is 64 years old today. Oh, fat. Oh, so fat. Boy, does that guy need a salad and a treadmill.
He is human beef jerky, though.
He was just waddling around the American Idol stage a couple weeks ago. Just so fat. Oh,
he may be the only person in the history of the show who's appeared without a shirt on that stage.
You get the idea he hasn't worn a shirt in about 20 years.
I think he owns one.
Yeah, maybe.
At his concert. He's so anti-shirt at his concert, they sell pants.
That's it.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. In the concession stand, you just have to buy Iggy Pop pants because there's no t-shirts. Because he does.
Because he doesn't like them.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Oh,
he is
wow.
60 years old today. Tony Danza had a reality show, Teach. I don't know if you saw Teach at any time while that was on television.
No, but I saw him.
Where he became an English teacher.
I saw him doing an interview about Teach where he was sobbing.
He cried a lot on that show.
That was great.
I watched the show because he was teaching at my old high school in Philadelphia.
What?
That's why I was interested. And I choked down about two episodes, and I was like, I'm not that interested to see my old high school on television.
Is he from there? Is Tony from
Philadelphia? No, he's a New Yorker.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
There's a lot of world's biggest. You can only have one, Kevin.
Well, there's a lot of people in this particular report that deserve it.
Tony is 60. Andy McDowell is 53 years old today. Robert Smith of The Cure turns 52. Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV is 41 years old. James McAvoy of the Chronicles of Narnia, Last King of Scotland, Wanted, 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Look, I know that air travel is safe. It's about the safest way you can travel in the United States. I mean, you're more likely to die in a car driving to the airport than you are in a plane, right? I mean, that's just
the
fact.
Here are the statistics. This, in America, 15,700 air traffic controllers guide 60 million flights a day.
Yeah.
60 million. a day.
Yeah, I know it's a big job, and it's a difficult job. And I, you know, all I know about air traffic controlling is what I've seen from the movies. You know, films like Pushing 10, where you see how incredibly stressful the job can be. But there are times, particularly in the overnight, particularly in some of the smaller and regional airports, where it's tough for air traffic controllers to stay awake. And that's what's been in the news a lot lately. How many has it been? Like 6 or 7 different air traffic controllers have fallen asleep in the last 3 months. And these are the ones we've heard about. I bet you it's happened tons of other times that we don't even know about. And that's kind of scary.
There was one dude that fell asleep, and then somebody came up and said, hey, man, you're the only air traffic controller. And he said, all right, good. And then he went back to sleep.
And then on top of that, and all those people getting fired, now there's a story out of Ohio about a couple of guys who decided that they were going to watch a movie. Things were slow, so they put on the Samuel L. Jackson, Ed Harris movie called The Cleaner. Not only did they watch the movie and weren't listening to the radio of planes coming toward them, but they had the broadcast button pushed so that they were broadcasting the audio of the movie instead of allowing people to contact the tower. So maybe, those guys have also been suspended.
Maybe they thought that the airline pilots would enjoy the audio of that movie.
Well, I think the pilots may have other things going on. So the head of the air traffic controllers has resigned, and the whole thing is just a big mess, and President Obama's getting involved, and I don't know what's going on. It's a very difficult job, but we wanted to find out more firsthand from somebody who does this for a living. So we asked producer Alex to line us up an air traffic controller at one of the nation's busiest airports, Dulles Airport, just outside Washington, D.C. Jay Garrick joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Garrick.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
You're not working right now, are you, sir?
Mm-hmm.
You sound a little bit tired.
Hold on a second. Okay, Delta 497, you've got clearance to go to 30,000 feet, your current vector. Over and out.
Mr. Garrick, we don't want to do this interview with you if you're working. I didn't realize you were going to be on the controls.
No, it's okay. I'm almost, the ship's almost over.
Okay, but shouldn't you put down the phone and pay attention to what's going on in the airspace above D.C.?
Boy, Dulles is the right name for this airport, I gotta tell you.
How many other air traffic controllers are working with you?
It's just me.
Just you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes coffee just doesn't work.
How long is your shift?
I work 8 hours.
8 hours, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you sound awfully tired for guys doing your line of work, though.
The overnights are rough.
I'll bet. But people's lives kind of depend on you being alert. Hello?
Jay!
Yo. Hello?
Jay, you all right? It sounds like you nodded off there for a second.
No. Hey, who's this?
Still Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean. Oh. Remember, we're doing an interview.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What do you think about these guys in Ohio that were watching a movie instead of watching the skies?
Oh, lucky bastards.
What do you mean, lucky bastards?
They won't let us see movies in this joint.
Well, they won't let them see them there either. You're supposed to be paying attention to the plane.
I'm in a movie. I can stay awake easier, I think.
Right, but then you're paying attention to the movie and not listing for incoming air traffic.
I hear it. If it shows up.
It seems like your job is an important one.
It is important.
Okay.
I mean, sleep.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people who could fall asleep.
You want a guy who's tired, or you want a guy who's rested, just had a cat nap?
Well, are you...
Think about it.
That's a tough question.
You don't want a sluggish, you know, sleepy guy landing a plane. You want a guy who's got some, you know, he's got a little pep in his step.
I want you to get enough sleep before you start your shift so that you don't have to sleep on the shift.
Okay. Well, I've been doing some stuff to try to keep myself awake. Well,
what do you do?
It won't let me watch the movie, so I got some other stuff going on.
Okay.
What? What's happening? What's happening, Jay?
Dixieland Jazz.
You have a band there?
Yeah, you can't sleep with a Dixieland Jazz band working.
I know you certainly can.
I guess not.
Yeah. They're expensive, but they're worth it, I think.
Sure.
If they see me go off, they just hit the when the Saints come marching in.
I see.
It just seems distracting right there in the job, though.
Well, this one works, too. I got a guy dressed up as a Scream guy with a mask and a knife, and he pops up in random places and wakes me up. He scares me half to death.
Well, I mean, whatever it takes, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
this one? Better have you. I got a Mexican guy in a lowrider who drives by the office every once in a while. Just blast that.
Can he just stay outside of the office for 8 hours?
Yeah, he just drives around in circles on the tarmac.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What could go wrong there?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's somebody shooting at the Mexican guy, I think. That's not me.
Oh, no.
Oh, tree frogs.
Yeah, we got tree frogs.
Oh, that'll keep
you up. I know that works. Yeah. That definitely works.
Hard part was getting a tree in the office.
Sure.
Well, there's that, yeah. Don't like what that sounds like.
Psycho Mike is there? How was you?
Do not eat a Taco Bell when you're doing an overnighter. I'm telling you, it's not a good idea.
Why is there... Is that your baby?
No.
Well, whose is it?
Well, we don't know yet. We're waiting for the test to come back.
Oh, I see.
Still, this kid will not shut up.
Wow.
You got a lot of stuff going on there.
Are you brushing your teeth?
There's a monkey in the office. I can't tell.
What?
I think a monkey may be brushing his teeth in my bathroom.
Okay. That sounds like a...
I'm vacuuming. Vacuuming the office.
Are planes trying to land right now?
Who knows? I can't hear with all this noise going on.
But I'm saying that's why...
You love the metal? We got Metallica and Anthrax and Slayer and Megadeth for you in the desert this weekend. We'll give you tickets later on today's show. Plus, hey, are we doing the thing where you listen for Soundgarden? Call us when we play Soundgarden. You want to do that today, too?
Yes.
Because we've got Soundgarden coming up,
too. You know what we should do is have that conversation off the air.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going with yes.
July 22nd at the Forum. Tickets are on sale this Saturday at 10 when you hear us play any song from Soundgarden. Be caller 20 to the Kevin and Bean Show and you'll win. Well, the royal wedding, Kevin, they don't talk about it much on TV, but apparently it's happening a week from tomorrow.
What?
Yes, the royal wedding, Prince William, who's the heir to the throne, is marrying some
ho. Is this in the news?
Yes, it was in the news. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't get away from it. And ABC is dedicating so much programming. They've already started. This week, they had an hour-long Barbara Walters special about the royal wedding. And really, can there possibly be any questions left after they answer all of these?
Tonight, we take you inside the biggest, most anticipated royal wedding in 30 years.
I like how they have taken a page out of the Access Hollywood playbook, yeah. And they're doing everything to rave music now. I don't know what
love it.
I don't know what the point of that
we
is.
We need some house music.
We talk to the royal planners and former royal bridesmaids. Rarely seen video of Kate and William. Insights from his friends and his inner circle. How the royal romance began and how it almost ended. The pressures they face. And now from London, Barbara Walters.
All right, I don't care about any of those things that they're going to talk about, but still I was forced to watch this hour so I could bring it to you. Now, Barbara Walters, you're over. You've had about an ass full of Baba Wawa, right?
Yeah, I'm so tired of her.
Okay.
So tired.
Let's hear what she has to say. At least they've got a serious journalist to cover this event. Let's see how what her approach is.
Good evening. I'm standing here in Westminster Abbey in London. This magnificent church inspires me with two feelings. One is awe. Two, where's my tiara?
Okay, that's the way that was.
Wait. Did she say, where's my tiara?
Where's my tiara, yeah.
Oh.
And by the way, Barbara Walters, it's awe. It's not R. It inspires me with R. It's not talk like a pirate day. It's
She's
real wedding.
She's never been able to talk.
I know. She hasn't. She I'm should marry Tom Brokaw.
I know I wanted to talk about that, but come on now.
Here's something I hate.
To be a princess, the fantasy cherished by little girls. To wear beautiful gowns. To live in a castle, to wear a tiara.
I don't think I can take an hour of listening to her talk like that. I just don't. And by the way, when we had our royal wedding correspondent, Alex's mom, Liz, on the show, I think she's the one who told us this is why chicks are so into this royal wedding is because they all want to grow up and marry a prince. I mean, that's part of a little girl's fantasy.
Right, but don't you learn by the time you're, I don't know, eight, that that's not real?
Right. I would hope so, yes. Right.
The closest most little girls will ever get is a princess theme party. This one, available for $26 from Party Pieces,
Whoa.
A party supply company owned by the Middletons, parents of Kate, who really is going to be a princess.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Her parents have gone into business selling these parties for princesses?
Even stranger than that. Their parents are millionaires because they've had this party princess business for years.
What?
It's a phenomenally successful company, and by coincidence, now their daughter is going to be a real-life princess.
Well, something's
How
not right
that?
There.
That is true,
something's
though.
Something's not right.
One of the many facts I found out by watching the Barbara Walters special. Did you know that Kate is the first royal bride to ever graduate from college? Did you know that William will be the tallest king of England? I mean, it goes on and on. They never stop coming up with facts about these goddamn people I don't care about. All right, here's the other thing that bugs me, is we're all meant to feel very sad for William because of the terrible lot in life he's drawn, because he one day is going to be king. And it must be so difficult for him because he can't do things that other kids can do.
Wait, we feel sorry for him for that?
We're meant to feel sorry for him. That's what they're hoping, right, with the way they present this. So he's off on a charity mission with some of his mates in Peru, and here's when the realization hits him.
He had a moment out there when I think the enormity of his future suddenly dawned upon him, listening to all of these fellow volunteers who'd become friends, talking about their futures. And William had to say to them, I can't do this because I'm going to be king. And I think it weighed very heavily on his shoulders.
Oh, that's so sad.
I feel so bad for you, William. You're going to be king of England instead of being able to get a job.
I can't do this because I'm going to be king.
And by the way, we haven't talked about this much. I understand that he's considered one of the most eligible bachelors in the world because he's the future king of England. The guy's a zero, right?
He has no personality. You're talking about his personality? Yeah, he's a black hole.
His personality, he has no personality, yeah. And he's not a good-looking dude. Lisa's on vacation this week, but I'd love to ask her. I mean, honestly, if you didn't know he was the prince, isn't he like a four?
Yeah, I'd think
so. On a scale of 1 to 10? I mean, this guy's got nothing going on. He's losing his hair. He's got no personality, yet every woman in the world apparently wants to marry this guy.
He can't do what those kids are doing because he's got to be the king.
And here's his take, by the way, on why he's so attracted to the ladies. This is one of the rare sit-down interviews he gave after he and Kate got engaged.
And we went through a few stumbling blocks, as every relationship does, and it's just really easy with being with each other, and it's really fun. And I'm obviously extremely funny, and she loves that. So it's really good.
Yeah, you're extremely funny. Now, if that was a joke, that's the only funny thing I've ever heard him say. All right, smack dab in the middle of the Barbara Walters special on ABC this week is another one of the crazy promos where everything that all the networks are trying to do is about the royal wedding. They try to tie everything into the royal wedding.
Right.
Listen commercials, to this. Everything. Exactly. Listen to this for an upcoming feature on Good Morning America.
It's the controversial new diet both Kate Middleton and her mom are rumored to be on.
Okay, it's a diet that Kate Middleton and her mom are on? No. Are rumored to be on.
We're not sure if they are.
But they might be.
The Dukin Diet. And tomorrow, the man who's bringing it to America breaks it all down in his first interview. It may be the royal diet of choice, but is it a safe choice too? Watch Good Morning America tomorrow on ABC.
It may be the royal diet of choice.
You.
That's how they're selling that.
Wow.
So they interview the guy who is in charge of making sure everything goes well. And, of course, there are thousands of details involved in putting on a royal wedding. By the way, have you had about enough of that
yes.
kind of music on all of these features, too?
Yes.
A royal wedding may look like pure romance. But behind the scenes, it's more like a military campaign with literally thousands of details to be executed with clock-like precision.
All right, let's see what kind of important duties that guy has to make sure that they go off well on wedding day.
Cleaning the royal carriages, polishing the royal hooves.
By the way, I was hoping that polishing the royal hooves had some sort of a sex euphemism, but apparently they're actually polishing the royal hooves.
Polishing the royal hooves.
Yes, they not only polish the hooves of the horses that are working that day, Kevin, but I'm not kidding you when I tell you that they vacuum the cobblestones around Westminster Abbey.
That's a gig right there.
They vacuum the street for this wedding because that's how important it is.
Tuning the royal trumpets. For almost 20 years, Sir Malcolm Ross planned the royal family ceremonies. Everything from weddings to crown deliveries. We're just a few weeks away from the wedding. What's left for the last minute?
Nothing is left for the last minute.
Really?
Absolutely nothing. No, in the palace, in the Middleton household, wherever it is, everything will have been arranged, ordered, and it will be available for the day.
What could go wrong?
Nothing will go wrong. There is no room for error.
By the way, how about that noise from Barbara Walters? Sound familiar?
What? She made that noise?
That's Barbara Walters.
Wow, she's hot.
She's something else.
Can you imagine how stifling this would be for Kate? Can you imagine?
It's got to be horrible for everybody involved. Nobody will be having a good time at this wedding. It's going to be the worst, most boring wedding in history to be a part of.
And for people, and for people who complain about the fact that we talk about this, look, here's the thing. Most of the time, you can just ignore what you don't care about. It's easy to just say, I don't care about fill in the blank. So I'm just going to not pay any attention. I won't be annoyed. It's not possible.
No, you can't get away from the royal wedding.
It isn't possible.
Let me play one more clip from the Barbara Walters special. I don't have time to get the exclusive hard-hitting interview with a bridesmaid who was 13 when she walked down the aisle with Princess Diana, who, by the way, is on exclusive retainer with ABC. NBC can't get her. They can't talk to somebody who did something one day 30 years ago. They don't get her. But you are going to love this last one because Barbara interviewed a guy who has written a book about abolishing the monarchy, which he thinks is a great idea. And I know you're on board with this.
Fantastic.
But listen to some of the things that he tells you. This will be our last clip about the monarchy today that I did not know.
You think the British monarchy should be abolished, yes?
Yeah, that's right. In America, people are really proud if they've come from humble backgrounds. It's a great thing that you've got a head of state now whose mother was on food stamps. You know, that would be slightly sneered at in Britain, and the monarchy is a symptom of that.
And then there's the question of what the monarchy costs. $290 million a year, according to some critics.
It's astonishingly opulent. Charles Windsor has never squeezed his own toothpaste.
Okay, let me stop right there.
Whoa!
Is Prince Charles, the heir to the throne, has never squeezed his own toothpaste. Again, I don't believe that's a sexual euphemism. I believe they're actually talking about brushing his teeth. He has people who... They have people who put the toothpaste on the toothbrush for him.
Do they have people who also move the toothbrush for him?
Someone does that every morning for
Still?
Him. Still. The Queen Mother set the pattern, which is still followed. She had 83 personal servants. She had 3 full-time chauffeurs. What did they do? Cut her into 3 pieces to transport her. It's an absolutely bizarre amount of opulence, and it's all paid for by me and by every British taxpayer.
I don't think I can take another week.
I'm with that guy. $290 million, and Prince Charles has never squeezed his own toothpaste.
I'm with that guy, too. I think let Queen Elizabeth have her time when she dies just to fold the whole program.
Let's speed her up, though.
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying?
Ralph Garman joins us every hour at this time on the Kevin Bean Show with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, no one wants to be an official spokesperson for mental illness. Unless maybe it's Bean and Asperger's. I think they have offered him the deal.
He's denying it.
He's the poster boy.
Yeah.
But Catherine Zeta-Jones has dealt with her bipolar disorder with a tremendous amount of class and grace, and she is stepping forward and talking about it to People Magazine specifically, explaining that the disorder affects millions of people. And she's encouraging those who suffer from it to seek help. And she says there's simply no shame in it, and it's treatable. And if you're going through horrible depression, it can be debilitating not only for yourself, but for your family. And that's when she realized she really needed help, when she knew it was affecting the people that she loved around her. In her defense, though, she was by her husband's side during his entire battle with throat cancer. And I can imagine that was a tremendously depressing and stressful time.
Sure.
So she finally got herself some help. And she said she's feeling much better. She was diagnosed, in case you missed the story, with bipolar 2 disorder. Which I don't know what it is because I never saw Bipolar 1, so I have no idea what the sequel's about. But
it has to be better, though, right?
I don't know. Usually sequels are worse.
Could be worse.
Sequels are worse.
It's true.
Yeah. But here's what I don't understand. She went into this treatment center. She was in there for like a week, and now she's out, and she's laughing, and she's making movies, and she's having the time of her life, and she's dancing. I mean, what did they do to her? Electroshock therapy for a week? How is she so much better so fast?
Apparently, it's pretty treatable with meds. So once they diagnose you, they evaluate your level of depression or your bipolar disorder, and then they just put you on the right cocktail of medication. And
maybe she took care of it at Charlie Sheen's house. Things move like that at Charlie Sheen's house. You can get over stuff in a day.
Cure illnesses
take
with your mind.
Else
there.
90 days. Come on, don't look at me like that, Ralph.
Because he blinked and cured himself?
Yes.
I got you. Well, there's no stigma, I guess, to Catherine suffering from this disorder because it hasn't kept her from getting work. She just has been added to the cast of the movie Rock of Ages based on the big musical. She's going to play the wife of the mayor of Los Angeles, a very conservative character who wants to do away with rock and roll. Ironically, she'll be singing Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot and Twisted Sister's We're Not Gonna Take It in the musical. So,
does this movie sound awesome or terrible?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it could be the most fun you've had in a movie theater in a long time. Or it could be a major train wreck.
The least fun.
Of biblical proportions.
Yeah.
Because you got Tom Cruise singing songs and her and it's going to be dancing. I don't know.
I'm guessing it's going to go south.
Everyone who's ever seen the show, I haven't had a chance to catch it yet, but everyone who's ever seen it that I know said it's awesome.
The show is so much fun.
Because it's all 80s hair music, basically. I mean, they say it's like
A great time, a great jukebox, and a lot of fun. So if they keep the spirit of that in the film,
right.
I think it could be entertaining. I know I'm kind of obsessed with this, but I just can't get past how much money the cast from Jersey Shore is making these days.
Yeah.
This comes from Life and Style magazine, where they did a little research, and they figured out that Pauly D from the Jersey Shore, DJ Pauly D, is pulling down $500,000 per month. That's what he's earning. $500,000!
That's $6 million a year right there.
Private DJ gigs, the MTV show, of course. He's got a Miracle Whip commercial that's currently airing. He's got an iPad app that you can buy. There are Pauly D greeting cards that are selling.
Stop it.
All that adds up to about $500,000 per month.
Stop it.
A month.
A month.
A month.
A month. Well, you should be as talented as Pauly D then.
It's just sick making.
Because he's got all those things he does.
So many levels. Lady Gaga, it has been announced, will be the musical guest on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. She's booked for May 21st, which, genius marketer that she is just 2 days before the release of her new album, Born This Way. Doesn't it feel like that album has been out and
we've
heard all the songs from her already for about a half a year?
6 months.
It's not even out yet, and we know her music so well. It's coming out on Monday instead of the usual Tuesday. Justin Timberlake, by the way, will be the host of Saturday Night Live that week. Oh. It's his fourth time hosting the show. I had no idea.
He's always good when he does it.
He sure is. Speaking of Born This Way, Weird Al Yankovic is a big fat liar who said yesterday on the internet that Lady Gaga wouldn't let him release his parody song, I Perform This Way, to the tune of her Born This Way. And he was very upset about it and said she was taking the food out of the mouths of starving babies because he was going to raise money for charity with this single release, and she would not let him do it. So he leaked it on the internet for free. And it turns out Lady Gaga not only didn't say that, but never even heard this song.
Raise your hand if you're full of crap.
Yeah, so Weird Al. Liar, liar pants, sir. Way on fire.
Correct. Or her manager told Al that she had heard it and didn't like it. In fact, the manager was a liar. Don't besmirch the good name of Weird Al.
Or that's just the kind of thing a liar would say in order to protect his own lying ass.
That's true.
I see. I got you.
And so I think we need to start some sort of campaign against Weird Al.
I like
it. I think here's a man who is obviously desperate in the twilight of his career, and he needs some controversy, some free press to keep him in the limelight, and now he concocted this horrible, horrible lie against the talented and brilliant Lady Gaga, and I for one, will not stand for it.
Or Al is more popular than he's ever been and should be the next president of the United States, maybe the next king of the world.
He should be a politician because he is a liar, obviously,
and true.
Most politicians are, so he seems to have all the qualifications. One, liar. Two, lies a lot. And three, greasy long hair. Like most politicians.
Nothing about the shirts?
And the shirts. He's got the Hawaii. He should be the mayor of Hawaii. Or the governor, I guess, in that case. The lying governor of Hawaii should be his role.
How are you going to come at Al like that?
Because he's a liar. And
Al ever done to
you? I do not cotton to liars, sir.
That's true. Ralph never has cotton to liars.
Devin knows.
That is true.
I will not cotton. I have polyestered, but I will not cotton.
You have leather.
I have leather a lot. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dallas cowgirl Tony Romo.
You said cowgirl.
See what I did?
It's not a cowboy.
Cowboy. Dallas cowboy Tony Romo is 31 years old. James McAvoy from Wanted, Last King of Scotland, Chronicles of Narnia. Very talented actor. He's in the new X-Men movie, First Class. X-Men First Class.
He's what's his face, right?
Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
He's Patrick Stewart's character when he can still walk and has hair.
So, Bean, your input on that story was he's what's his face, right?
The name did not immediately come to me, but yes.
Thank you, Mr. Know It All.
That was my contribution.
As always, thank you for adding.
It was important that I jump in with that.
You know what I do, Bean, if I don't know a name? Most of the time, I try to just not say anything.
Yeah. That's always an option.
It's just shutting up.
It's a thought. It's always an option.
But I generally come up with it from the time I start the sentence to the time I need the name, and this time it just didn't come to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it did, and you're lying like your friend Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, look at that. It's true. See what you did there?
Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV is 41. Robert Smith of The Cure is 52. Andie MacDowell, lovely and talented actress, is 53. Tony Danza celebrates his 60th birthday. And punk legend Iggy Pop turns 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Dr. Drew and our other friend Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode, both joining us next hour here on the Gavin DeBean Show. And don't forget, anytime you hear us play Soundgarden, which could come at any moment, just pick up the phone and be caller 20 to win your tickets to see them at the Forum this summer. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 for the show July 22nd.
Hookah, either stay or leave.
What are you doing?
What
Hookah?
Are you doing?
Figure out the food.
In
whatever,
or out.
Whatever you need to do, just do it.
He brought the food in the studio. Intern brought the food in the studio like 15 minutes ago. He's just been staring at it.
He's just quietly opening the bag. I don't want to get the noise on the air. So he's standing behind us just lurking, just trying to work his way through breakfast burritos.
What's happening?
It's very disturbing.
Who would have thought an intern nicknamed Puka would have some focus problems?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Bean for a minute. Now,
how dare you?
We've long been fascinated with his fascination of Disney shows, because Disney shows are not exactly aimed. Their target audience is not Bean.
Oh, she was on Sunny with a Chance.
Yeah.
She's from the Wizards of Waverly Place.
He knows way too much.
She's Kung Fu Misu.
All of the High School Musicals he knows everything about. Yeah. Like, it's creepy.
Look, these shows are way better than you think they are. Look, there's a reason.
Good
Disney
for kids.
Disney isn't just putting out crappy kid shows. They're putting out good kid shows
Great.
That are good enough that they are sometimes interesting to adults as well. That's what I'm saying is I watch these shows and they're actually very good.
Right. But then we found out during a conversation, was it yesterday?
Yeah. That wasn't your position. That wasn't your defense when last time we brought it up.
No.
Well, what I said is the reason I started watching a lot of these Disney shows, Kevin, please pay attention. We're over here. The reason I started watching these shows is because I put the Disney Channel on a lot at my house because it's appropriate and safe background noise for my dogs.
Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
No, nothing like that at all.
It's appropriate bait for the youngsters.
No, so what happens is you put
I drive around town with some of the Disney music blaring. I blast High School Music out of my speakers like the Pied Piper of pedophiles.
You put it on, and then the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you're going, hey, this Hannah Montana has got an interesting plot line. And then you find yourself watching the show. That's what I'm saying. It was because of the dogs that I had that channel on a lot.
Uh-huh.
But now they've kind of gotten me hooked on some of the shows.
Shave down there?
It's not like
so
that
you
at all.
Sit down with the dogs and watch the Disney Channel. That's
well, you know,
saying.
As I'm preparing to go out, that's how it got started. As I was preparing to go out and getting everything all set up,
time out. When are you ever preparing to go out in the first place? How
that's
often
a good
does
point.
That
you don't go out.
No, that's not true. Sometimes I'll get the urge for a milkshake and I'll run up and buy one and come home. You know,
I think I would like to shower with you.
I do leave the house sometimes, and when I do, I'm one of those people who believes that it's better to have a little background noise going on inside the house so that the dogs aren't as freaked out if they hear something outside that startles them.
I think Disney's appropriate content for my dogs, which I believe are children.
So the conversation is not, do you leave something on or not?
Right.
It's what do you leave on for your dogs and why? Because Bean said that the Disney Channel is, in his words, safe for his dogs.
It's appropriate content for my dogs.
So if he puts it on like Showtime or something.
No. That's too adult for Num Num and Beetlebutt.
Are you afraid Beetlebutt is going to watch TV?
There's no Beetlebutt.
And Beetlebutt is going to see someone shoot a gun, and then Beetlebutt's going to go out and shoot a gun?
No,
what do you mean
look,
safe viewing? What does that mean, safe?
You know what it means.
It's look, noise or it's not noise
right,
for a pet.
Untrue. Listen to me. You don't think that it would be more alarming, startling, upsetting, make the dog more anxious to listen to a Transformers movie than if you left your TV on Eat, Pray, Love, which is just people talking? One is within the realm of their experience that they're comfortable with.
They're
the other one
bored with Eat, Pray, Love. They want some entertainment.
No.
They
the
have
last,
to live with you. Can you imagine last, how boring
their
that
whole
is?
Life is Eat, Pray, Love.
They're the so bored out of their minds. They're like, yes, he's going out for a milkshake. Maybe he'll put something good on TV and you put on Disney.
The last thing you want, though, is a bunch of, you know, aliens blowing stuff up or machine guns.
Only if your dogs are so retarded they can't tell the difference between real life and what's on television.
Okay.
I want to meet you and fool around.
No, it's not like that at all. It's not like that even a little bit. But I know
I don't get a milkshake because that's where all the kids hang out. I bring them home to watch Disney in my pink house with a giant clown on top of it.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
I need a I need some backup on the phones from Kevin and Bean listeners at 1-800-520-1067. I guarantee that I'm not the only person, the only person who's putting something on that is thought out rather than just random.
No, I guarantee there are other crazy people as well. I'm
but
with you
not
on that.
Crazy.
We agree.
It makes sense. Look, why would I leave it on something that's gonna get the dogs anxious? I won't put it on the punk rock channel and let it blast out all day long.
If I can put
it
on, would rebel. Then your dogs would rebel and go all crazy.
They might get their nose pierced and they get a tattoo.
They've got a safety pin through their cheek.
What the F is wrong with you? They're dogs.
Right, they're dogs. But
so
if
you
I have
put on noise or not noise? That's it.
No, it's not noise or not noise.
Oh,
come
for
on.
God's sakes.
I just know that I can count on the sweet life with Zach and Cody to be appropriate babysitters if I have to be out of the house. And that
I'm
just,
cute,
I think
though.
That,
that, built good.
That's not even a show. That's just Bean's bedroom, by the way. The sweet life with Zach and Cody.
That's true. Yeah. All right, give me some
this
Kimberly.
Is two young men named Zach and Cody who live on the other side of the island.
I want to talk about them.
Give me some Kimberly on line two. She's got my back. Kimberly, thank you for calling and saving me. What's going on?
Okay, look, it really does make a difference.
No, it doesn't. Yes, it does.
I'm going to tell you why. I will never leave it on Game Show Network because of the ding, ding, ding kind of freaks them out a little bit when people ring in, you know, and no animal channels whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely.
It disturbs them. C-SPAN, that's the way to go.
Oh, C-SPAN, interesting.
It's just talking. There's no shouting. There's no ding, ding. There's nothing.
Oh, that ding. You've got some neurotic dogs.
That ding must really drive them crazy.
My dog, there are explosions going off and dogs barking on television. He just sits there just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you know why? Because they're dogs.
Well-adjusted dog, has no problems.
Well, dogs are dogs. You know, I do what
good
I can.
Good point. Good point. Dogs are dogs.
Well, if Kimberly, I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Yeah. That's true.
Kimberly, I appreciate the support. Thank you very much, my dear.
Kimberly's dogs are voting now because they watch C-SPAN.
C-SPAN.
All the time. Yeah, they're very politically aware.
Let's talk to Jason real quick, and then we have to take a break. But we are taking your calls.
Why is the left so extreme, and why is the right so extreme? Let's have a conversation.
1-800-520-1067. Jason, you leave something on for your dogs when you go out, right?
Yeah.
You sound proud. Now, it's not whether you leave something on or not. That's not the conversation. The conversation is what's safe and what's not safe.
What's appropriate
safe.
Programming for
what's
dogs?
What's appropriate for them?
Animal Planet, of course.
Oh, wait a minute. The last
Kimberly
one,
said no way.
Kimberly said no way on Animal Planet.
Come on. All the
good
bird
point.
Noises. My cat goes crazy.
Bean?
Okay. The
Animal Planet.
What? Totally wrong. You're a moron, Jason. The last thing you want is for your pets to go crazy while you're out. You want them to be calm and sedate.
Well,
just give them NyQuil. So.
You want
what
calm
kind of problem
sedate
do you
like
have?
You are, Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Don't ever call us again. But thank you for listening.
I'm going to say right crazy. Now that I'm glad I didn't have Kimberly or Jason backing my story. That's what
All
I'm
right.
saying.
1-800-520-1067. Please dial in. We'll talk to you next. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean. What does it mean now that Major League Baseball has taken control of the Los Angeles Dodgers? Besides the fact that we have a lot of very happy San Francisco Giants fans listening today. Besides that, what does it mean? We'll talk to our friend Petros Papadakis coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show about that. First, though, Alma writes in, hey, guys, I leave the Cartoon Network on for my dogs when I have to go out because it's nonviolent. I don't want them to have to hear or see anything that's sad or violent.
Wait a minute.
That doesn't make sense.
You got cats beating dogs over the head with lead pipes and stuff.
That's more violent than any other channel.
Go!
It really is. You got pets falling 5,000
for animals. Those animals get tortured in cartoons.
Wow, this is ridiculous.
Blown up with sticks of dynamite stuck in their mouths and stuff like that.
We started talking to Bean about why he knows so much about Disney shows, yeah. And he has
the reality is he likes to seduce preteens.
Correct.
Right.
But what the truth is,
I'll just be your secret lover.
What his position is that he likes to leave it on for his animals.
He leaves it on for his animals because it's safe programming.
It's appropriate programming for the pups.
Well, let's see what Michelle says, because Michelle is on line three, and I believe she's also using the Disney Channel for the exact same reason. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for holding on.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's going on?
Well, I put the Disney Channel on for my cat.
Okay.
It keeps her calm. It helps her stay mellow. She doesn't tear up the furniture. She doesn't go digging through the blanket.
So if you put on one of the networks, for example, your cat would just go crazy.
If you put on CBS, she would shred your apartment.
I wouldn't put it past her. I know she would take the pillows off the couch.
Oh, no, she did. Oh, no,
she's a bad cat.
Not at my house.
Cat Lake.
cat lady.
All right, you're crazy, crazy cat lady. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Let's try Michael. He's got a different suggestion for what channel to leave on. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you have your pets watch when you're out?
Hi, guys. I put on ESPN, Sports Zone in particular, is what my cats like.
No, because there's that ball that goes around every time they show a clip and they want to chase it.
That's very violent, man.
No, not at all. The only violent thing is watching hockey, but
yeah, that's
I'll let
okay.
that fly.
Why do you... I'm curious.
He lets it slide. He's fine with it anyway. All right. You kids got to watch a little hockey, but then it's back to baseball.
Why do you think like your cats music. Like ESPN?
Because he does.
It's calm, and I like ESPN.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
and
okay.
that gets
us
ESPN,
back to...
Like
that gets us back to Bean, which yes. is he
personal
likes
preference.
Disney.
He likes so seducing preteens.
His
no,
dogs
it's,
like
it's not
Disney.
That. It's yeah. just that I see... I watch enough television with my dogs that I see what their reaction is when it's, you know... loud programming, violent yeah. programming, angry programming, and I see how it upsets them. So
or
I figure, why do that to them?
Would a constant barrage of loud, violent programming actually make your dogs used to that kind of program, and then they would be
less sensitive to
less
every
sensitive
noise.
To all kinds of noise and violence?
No, my dogs don't tend to learn any lessons ever. So
is Chris Hansen reading your dog's email when he says,
I'm horny for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dear Kevin and Bean, my wife left E! On all day. There was a Keeping Up with the Kardashians marathon on. My cat has been an angry bitch ever since. Well, there's that, Brad. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
let's
try. We don't need to.
Condoms with you?
I don't think we need that either, by the way. All I'm saying is I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want to go to any of the other calls? The ones where they're talking about putting on anything or...
Violent horror movies.
You don't want to take those calls?
It doesn't seem like it adds anything.
It detracts from your badness.
Well, Jacob on line 8, we can talk to him,
right.
but he's just wrong. He's abusing his poor dogs is what he's doing.
Jacob.
Yes.
You watch what kind of programming with your dogs?
Yes, I do. It's the only thing that really calms them down.
What kind? Horror movies?
He really likes Predator.
Predator. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes, Predator.
And you're saying...
he likes basically...
And you're saying it's the only thing that calms your dog down?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I've tried, you know, at first we thought that it was a little too violent. I agree with you on that part. But then again, when we start putting it on Disney Channel, especially Miley Cyrus,
yeah.
he gets really, like, anal and just does not like him, like her at all.
Yeah. He's not a fan of her. He doesn't like, he doesn't agitated. Believe that she could actually be uh-huh. a real person and then put on a wig and be
Miley Cyrus. The same person,
their
hair's a different color.
I'm not buying it.
I'm dead serious.
So, Kate, now you show your dog horror movies. Does he then take a knife from the kitchen and go out, start stabbing people?
Actually, he likes to lay down. And just watch him with us.
Yes, because you have a well-adjusted, reasonable dog.
And you're a well-adjusted,
yes.
reasonable human
and
being.
And it doesn't matter what you put on television.
I think he can distinguish reality from fiction.
Yeah. Yes. I don't, but I think it's yes. noise versus not noise.
Doesn't that make Jacob even crazier than it makes me? Come on,
nope.
seriously, you guys.
Nope. You're right at the... 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:36.
Is it time for the grilled cheese invitational guy yet? We're
nope.
talking grilled cheese yet? Where's the grilled cheese guy? Invitational's coming up.
Yeah, I know. But he's not even coming in. He's not even making grilled cheese like in past years.
I don't care. I could talk about grilled cheese all day long. Dr. Drew on the program today. Also, Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode. We've got your Big Four tickets. And don't forget, when you hear Soundgarden, be caller 20 and win from the Kevin and Bean Show. Here was the news that everyone in Southern California was talking about yesterday.
A shocker tonight for the Dodgers. With the owners at war, the baseball commissioner has stepped in and taken control of the team away from Frank and Jamie McCourt.
He will appoint a trustee to oversee all aspects of the club. In a statement, Selig said, I have taken this action because of my deep concerns regarding the finances and operations of the Dodgers and to protect the best interests of the club.
First time in 10 years that Major League Baseball has done this, and to find out more and why and how and what and who and when, Petros Papadakis joins us from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. Hey, Pete, what's going on, man?
What's popping with y'all?
You I know- must be very excited about this.
You know, I really am, to be honest with you. But it's kind of like the day after Christmas because it's going to be a long, litigious, terrible, legal, ridiculous process to wrestle this team away from this chowderhead idiot from Boston that took over the team. This has been a while coming. Actually, though, it happened a lot faster than I thought. And Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, who's a really old guy, looks like a vulture.
Right.
He wears a lot of clothes from Men's Warehouse from like the early 90s.
Right.
I mean, he really does.
Isn't he the one that kind of greenlit the McCourts and kind of pushed him through Fast?
This is his mess to begin with. They're the ones that fast-tracked Frank McCourt to become the owner of the Dodgers in 2004, so now it's their mess to clean up. Guys, Frank McCourt is an absolute disgrace. There hasn't been a worse owner of a team that I can remember for an iconic sports franchise. Now, look, this is not Major League Baseball taking over the Texas Rangers or the Montreal Expos or hockey taking over the Phoenix Coyotes or the NBA taking over the New Orleans Hornets. This is one of the great sports franchises in the history of sport. This is the Lakers. This is the Cowboys. This is the Yankees.
Yeah. But help us understand, Pete, for folks who don't follow the nuts and bolts of the finances of this thing. Our understanding was, and we were just talking about this during the song, the Dodgers historically have been an enormously profitable franchise. How can they be having so much money trouble now?
They still are very profitable, and the franchise is worth billions.
Well, wait, how come he can't make payroll then? He's not paying the players, right?
This is just an excuse. He's paying the players, and he has enough money, I guess, right now, and rich people borrow money, and I'm not going to pretend to understand, you know, how tens of millions of dollars gets moved around by these super rich people. The point is, in the statement from baseball, it was finances and operations. Operations, to me, means security. The way they botched the whole Brian Stowe situation, the guy that got beat up outside Dodger Stadium, who's still laying in a hospital bed, who may never recover.
Right. Mm.
The way they handled the aftermath of that was disgraceful. Basically, guys, every time McCourt was supposed to make a right in his ownership, he made a left. Every time he was supposed to make a left, he made a right. I mean, it's like he screwed up the easiest thing to do in the world, which is own the Dodgers and have people love you. I mean, people love the freaking Dodgers in this town, and now people think it's unsafe to go to Dodger Stadium. I mean, I drive right by Dodger Stadium every night on the way home from work on the show with Matt, and every night when there's a Dodger home game, I sit in traffic, except for the last week. I mean, no one's going. I've been blowing home like there's no problem. I've been laughing on the street.
Ha, ha, ha. No traffic.
I mentioned earlier,
it's a bad situation, and it's now being rectified.
I mentioned earlier that there are a lot of course, there are a lot of Dodger fans who are happy to see this move because it's what they hope it's one step closer to the McCourts having to sell the team and get in some new owners. But I also mentioned earlier, that there are a lot of Giants fans who are very happy with this because this has to affect the mindset. This going on, this swirling around the team has to affect the players day by day, right? There's no way to avoid getting out from under the cloud of this.
Well, you know, this is what I've been calling for since 2 years ago on the eve of the NLCS. Here the Dodgers are in the playoffs. It's really popping off. They're going to play the Phillies. And these idiot people announce that they're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Or there was a leak that they're getting divorced. I mean, if you're that rich and you own the freaking Dodgers, and we talked about this in the past on the show, you've got to be able to manage your information a little bit better than that. This is not a stupid band breaking up. I mean, you've got to be able to manage your information. So, of course, it's going to affect the on-the-field product, and I don't know how long it will. And that's why this is going to, you don't want committees running your team. This is going to have to be rectified, but it's going to take a while. It's a long process.
So like a couple of weeks? Like 3 weeks?
No. Oh. This is like a two-year process. But this is not just a chink in the armor from a court. This is the dam bursting and toxic water falling all over the place. I mean,
so ultimately, he's out of there, right?
Yeah. There's no way he can fight this. He's going to try to sue Major League Baseball, but he signed a document when he bought a team saying he'd never sue Major League Baseball. And this guy, Bud Selig, the vulture, he's a political animal. He wouldn't make this move unless all his ducks were in order. All the owners are against Frank McCourt, and everybody's trying to uproot him because everything he does is an embarrassment. Again, this is the freaking Dodgers we're talking about.
You know what's funny is, like B was talking about, the enemies of the Dodgers are happy to see this. The Dodger fans have hated the McCourts as well and are happy to see this the beginning of the end of their reign over this team, right? I mean, it's
my favorite thing about McCourt is, yeah, everybody's happy. Everybody that works at Dodger Stadium, everybody that works for the Dodgers is happy. This guy has gone through PR, marketing, operations people. He's gone through these people like the Rolling Stones have gone through baseball. I mean, there are hundreds of them. That it's ridiculous. And everybody has McCourt horror stories. Everybody that's worked in the Dodger Stadium around these people has just absolutely despised them. They are awful. And it's time for them to go, but it's going to be a long process. And this guy's going to be dragged out with his fingernails dug into the parking lot at Dodger Stadium. It's going to be an ugly sit. Somebody's going to have to grab him by the ankles and drag his sorry chowderhead ass out of Dodger Stadium.
I didn't know that this was even possible in any sport. Like, I didn't know the NBA or NHL or
But all those examples Petros gave are examples where the league has stepped in to run a team.
It's a last-ditch type of thing. The reason we don't care about the Phoenix Coyotes is because it's the Phoenix Coyotes. But it gets everybody's attention and becomes the biggest news story when it's the Dodgers.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way, we're almost out of time here, P. And again, as always, we appreciate your insight. It also, it has to be mentioned that the Dodgers, who you're right, they're a crown jewel of baseball, but they haven't won the World Series in now, what, 23 years,
I guess it's been?
It does matter. It does matter. I mean, that's another thing that fans have to go, hey, what's up? What's going on with my team? You know
but
what I mean?
They still break attendance records. I mean, McCourt, the only good thing about the McCourt ownership is that they won about 85 games a year in his watch. But that doesn't mean, guys, the Cubs are one of the most popular and iconic franchises in the history of baseball, and they are that because they don't win. And that's not what the Dodgers, that's not really what the Dodgers are. I mean, their last World Series was 1988, but you're right. That is something missing, that they have not been a championship product in a long time. And part of the reason is because the ownership has kind of been juggled since the 90s.
Is it true that the McCourt children have been paid handsome salaries and do nothing for the team?
Oh, they're the first to get fired. Can you imagine McCourt's freaking message to them on their machine right now? Era, kids, era, it may be time to get a job, era, it might be, era, looking.
That's a very strong Boston accent, P. There's nothing this man can't do. All right, the Petros and Money Show airs across this great land of ours in L.A. Please check them out at 3 o'clock on AM 570 in the afternoon. And check your local listings. P, give our best to Money, man. We'll talk to you soon.
I love you, Dyer.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:54.
Hey, stick around. We're talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up after the top of the hour. You know, it's almost impossible to find that guy talking on radio or TV, so you definitely don't want to miss it. That's on the way. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin Amin show. What's happening?
He's like a medical Howard Hughes.
He is.
Howard Hughes would just hide away in like a penthouse. No one would see him for years, and he would just he would control his empire through a series of minions and communiques.
Nobody was sure if he was alive.
No one could find him. They didn't know what he was up to. That's what Drew's like. It's hard to get a hold of him and to hear from him. I'm worried. We haven't heard or seen him in minutes.
They gotta give him a platform. And it's sad because if you really do have a drug addiction problem and you want to find Dr. Drew, it's like the freaking A-Team. I mean, you really have to look at the phone book and look for clues and hints. So
I'm surprised you guys were able to get him.
You can look at a phone book for the A-Team? That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. Look under A.
That's where Rosario failed. I kept looking under them.
And if you can find them.
I was like, I can't find them. Well, just look under A. No, the yellow pages, not the white pages. That's a business. It's not a personal. Oh.
That was the confusion. I got it now.
Why does Weird Al Yankovic have to lie so much? Why does he have to be such a filthy liar who cannot be trusted and spreads nothing but lies?
It was a misunderstanding between Al's people and Lady Gaga's people.
Well, maybe he should have cleared up that misunderstanding before he went public yesterday on his blog bashing Lady Gaga for not giving him permission to release his parody of her song Born This Way for charity. Maybe he should have figured out what was really going on before he started to besmirch her good name
like so much meat dress. He was told by her manager.
She has a good name?
Yes.
He was told by her manager that she had turned down the parody. That's why he went public with it. And then he found out that she had never heard it. And once she heard it, she loved it and everybody's happy.
Oh, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the lies that are being spread by Weird Al Yankovic and his lying ways.
You don't put up with lying. I know that about you.
I will not stand for it.
That's correct.
Least of all from our pop stars.
That's right.
Or our parody artists, more importantly. If you can't count on your parody song artists to be honest, straightforward people, what do we have left in this America of ours?
Well, I agree with you on that.
That's what I say. And Weird Al is a stinking liar that, by the way,
I think he killed a dude, too. I'm not sure.
He didn't kill a dude. Sure he didn't kill a dude. And by the way, Weird Al, nicest guy in the world, doesn't even have to get permission from the artist that he parodies. Yeah. Does it because he's such a nice guy.
Nicest guy in the world. That's how he fools you. That's how the devil would come to us being not as a creature with horns and hooves, but as a gentle soul playing the accordion, singing because you're fat, jam on it. That's how he gets in. That's how he lures
us
in.
Yes, that's how Weird Al would work. The devil.
How do you know he's not?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm thinking that the evidence more and more is pointing towards yes, Weird Al Yankovic is Satan. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think
so. That'd be awesome.
Would you like to hear some of Perform This Way, his parody of Lady Gaga's Born This Way?
Sure.
Here's the...
I'm sure my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can bite me, baby, I perform this way. I might be wearing Swiss cheese, or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way.
Perform this way.
To my little monster's pain. Life's cause I perform this way. Baby, I perform this way.
He's good at what he does. Why does he have to lie?
Why does he have to lie? That's because that's
why are you jumping on the bandwagon?
He doesn't have to go out and spread lies about other artists just to support his own career.
Once Gaga heard the song, she loved it. She gave her approval. Everybody's happy now.
Couldn't he have just gone to Madonna and asked for approval for Express Yourself and then just released it? Because who would have known? You could be wearing Swiss cheese or be covered with bees. Is the
That's true. You could be covered with bees.
He's funny, a liar, but funny. Speaking of Lady Gaga, she is going to be the musical guest on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. She is booked for May 21st, just 2 days before the release of her new album, Born This Way. It's coming out on Monday instead of the usual Tuesday.
If she was really funny, she would let Weird Al come out and be introduced as Lady Gaga and sing that song.
Have him come out in a meat dress, in an egg.
Yeah. But he wouldn't do that because he's too busy lying.
And he's full of lies. Yep. That's his problem.
He's lying.
Justin Timberlake will be a Saturday Night Live host that week. It's his fourth time as the host. I just went with a parody song about Weird Al, how he lies.
I like it.
Yes. Lie-a virgin, I could call it. Or something else.
I'll work on that. Maybe something else.
That's not a finished idea yet.
Supermodel Nikki Taylor has stepped forward and told us who she wants to endorse for president of these United States.
Thank God.
Donald Trump, she says, would be a great president.
Now, she was one of the early booted contestants on Celebrity Apprentice this year,
right? She was, but she holds no ill will towards the candidate. It says she would endorse Donald Trump for president. She would vote for him if he was nominated.
I'd vote for Ivanka.
Ivanka Trump?
Yeah, she's pretty hot. Too, yeah. You know, I think I'd go with that.
First daughter. You know who else is backing Trump? Very serious about wanting Donald to be the president. None other than one of our Lord and Saviors, Gary Busey. Gary Busey!
Wait a minute.
Had a press conference to announce his support for Donald Trump as president. Before Donald Trump had a press conference to say he's running for president, Busey held a press conference.
Well, now I have to vote for Donald Trump.
We all do. We all have to follow
Except
in the footsteps
for
of Busey.
I still don't think he's going to run. It's all publicity.
We'll see what happens, but Gary seems to think so, and here is a little bit of the reasoning behind why he would vote for Donald.
I'm campaigning for him now. Donald Trump has the wherewithal, the knowledge, and the awareness of this country. He wants to turn it back to where the founders had it. It's a good thing. And the word Trump, T-R-U-M-P, I created a Buseyism for his last name. Mm-hmm. T-R-U-M-P stands for Taking Redirection, Understanding, Massive Power.
Yeah! Yeah! All right. He slams his hand on the dais there, wherever he was working from,
That was it. I mean, that was the final word.
All you need to know. Get your votes in early, people.
Can you get your vote in early?
Stay home.
No, you can't.
Can you vote today. You can stay home when it's election day. It's much easier. Avoid the crowds.
Send a letter to anyone USA.
Yeah.
Just drop it in the mail. Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Iggy Pop is 64 years old today. Tony Danza, actor, is 60. Andy McDowell is 53. Robert Smith of The Cure turns 52. Nicole Sullivan.
Big Four is happening this weekend with Metallica and Megadeth and Anthrax and Slayer. If you want to go, we're playing a Metallica title fight game coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you know your Metallica titles you want to play, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. First, though, time for Dr. Drew.
Doctor, hello, my name is Dr. Green.
Dr. Drew in the Hizzy.
Indeed. In addition to the nationally syndicated Loveline radio show, you can catch Dr. Drew weeknights at 9 on HLN. That's CNN headline news show just called Dr. Drew. And the doctor joins us back on the Kevin Amin Show. How are you, Doc?
Hey, guys. Did you have a good 420?
We did.
Yeah, it was fun.
Kevin, Kevin right in there. Yep, yep, yep.
That was a lot of fun. We spent it with Wee Man, so how could we not have a good time?
Oh, God. I got a contact high just thinking about it.
He's the best. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Drew, is the headline news show everything you hoped it would be when you signed on to do it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's really a lot of fun. We're sort of had to find our way for a couple of weeks, but I think we know where we are now and are having a good time with interesting topics and interesting people, and I just
weeks.
Enjoy it.
It took us a couple of years. It took us 6 years to learn.
No, I'm sure I'll look back. Yeah, okay. God willing, I'll have a couple years to hone it better. But yeah, you're right. Talks just take a long time to really get where they need to be. Yeah.
You know, it's
and
painful.
Look where
and
we are now after all this time. It's still embarrassing.
It's still not good, right? You're also experiencing something that you have to deal with on Loveline every night too, which is it's unbelievable how bad the callers are that call into your show sometimes. You just must want to kick them in the head with as long as it takes them to get to the point.
Are we talking about radio or television now?
Both. Television.
Yeah, television, I think that's more a function of, I don't want to get into it, but I don't think television producers know how to produce phone calls. Our little our call screeners on Loveline are great, and we should bring them over to television, I think.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Hey, you were talking about something a couple of days ago I saw on the show that I wanted to bring up just because it's been so much in the headlines lately as a result of that J. Crew ad with the woman who runs J. Crew had her little boy with the pink toenails. And, you know, there were people just outraged all over the country talking about how you were going to confuse him and he was going to have gender confusion. And he might turn out to be gay because he had his fingernails painted or whatever. And you were talking about the princess boy syndrome on your show a couple of nights ago, and I had not heard about that. What's that all about, Dr. Drew?
Well, it's called gender nonconformity, and we had this little kid on who did you see the kid we had on?
No, I just saw the follow-up on it.
Oh, no, we had this little boy on who dresses like, you know, a princess, and he thinks he's a princess, and he's very effeminate, and he's very a lovely, lovely kid. And his parents were sort of struggling with their own feelings about what the kid ought to be and how to leave him alone to be who he is. And
so it wasn't his parents making him that way.
No, I mean, the dad was sort of a macho guy, and they had a brother that was very, you know, sort of very much of a masculine boy. And it was the other brother, actually, that tipped the parents off and said, you know, listen, let this kid be who he is. You know, because they kept trying to push him to be more boyish.
They tie him to the tree and throw some baseballs at him?
Well, you know, I found since that, worse than that, I have found that some countries, you know, send kids to, like, reassignment camps and all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, it's such a great, you know, it's a little, I'm not sure this is morning radio fodder, but it was such a great experience, you know, on the notion of acceptance and unconditional love. And I did a bunch of research on this before we did the show, and it turns out that there's really overwhelmingly good evidence that there's a biological basis to this, and you're really forcing a kid to be something they're not. Now, there are psychological aspects of gender identity, obviously, but this particular syndrome, you know, is a kid that's a certain thing, and you got to let him be that.
Just be whoever he is.
Yeah, and he'll work it through. He'll be whoever he's going to be, but he's biologically different than his brother. I mean, you could see it when you look at them. And it was just a really interesting and lovely couple.
You saw, I'm sure, Dr. Drew, how freaked out people got about that kid with the pink toenails. And, I mean, you've raised a bunch of kids of both sexes. I mean, isn't that a kind of a normal thing that kids go through where they just want to do stuff that's fun? And they're not even thinking in terms of homo or heterosexuality, right?
Absolutely true. And you know, we're so rigidly, I don't know, we're so funny in this country about our rigidity around these issues. I think masculinity has been under attack for a while, and people are sort of, men in particular, sort of feel beaten down by that, and they need not. Everything's fine. Everything's good.
Take it easy.
You can paint your toenails pink. It's all right.
It's all right.
Okay. It's not your wife doing something funny to your kid. And so much of this stuff is not in your control anyway. And so, you know, it's not something that's going to make a big difference.
You are doing a great job on the Headline News show, 9 o'clock weeknights on CNN Headline News. And I got to tell you, I tuned in for a few minutes last night. You had Kendra on. And that looked to me, Kendra Wilkinson from Playboy and Dancing with the Stars, it looked to me, honestly, like, Dr. Drew, that it was not just a celebrity chat show. It looked like that was actual therapy that was going on. And is it ever like, is something ever too personal for you to discuss with a guest on this TV show?
Well, I mean, you're sort of, thank you for watching, by the way, and you're asking really interesting questions.
I watch it a lot, too. And I like the variety of guests that you have.
I'm just glad you had a good 420, Kevin. Sorry. But
you know, I only know how to do a certain. I want to talk to somebody. I only know how to talk to them a certain way. I mean, I just talk about what's important, and I tell each of them when they sit down. I go, look, if I ask something you don't want to answer, please don't feel obliged to answer. I'm not trying to out you or something, but I'm trying to understand who you are. I'm trying to come to things that I think will help a viewer, you know, apply to their own life. And you can't just talk about your latest project and do something significant. So Kendra was great, by the way. She was great,
but I guess my complaint would be I want her to be hot and I want to have sexual fantasies about her when I see her. And now all I can get out of, you know, in my mind is the image of her being sad when her father left when she was six. And you're bumming me out, Doc. I guess that's what I'm telling you.
I have a long track record of ruining strippers for people.
You are not Dr. Feelgood. That's what we're saying. That is not your role.
Well, if you can't get enough of Dr. Drew, please check him out weeknights at 9 o'clock on HLN. I know you're very, very busy these days. Say hi to your boyfriend, Psycho Mike, for us, because we don't get to see him very often anymore.
He's, you know, I see him, obviously, every night now on Loveline, and he is, I'm taking good care of him.
All right. Good, I appreciate that. Come on anytime, Drew. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
Gene Hernandez from Burbank just got tickets to see that band. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 8:24.
Big Four is happening this Saturday. It's the show they saw in Europe, and now we get to see it in America with Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth. Your chance to win your tickets right now from the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067 with a game we like to call the title fight. Now, Ralph and Dave are the contestants this time. We've got callers on the line already.
Yes.
Ralph, I don't know if you remember the last time Dave played this game. It's a miracle that he's been invited back, because this is the game where we use song titles. In this case, they're all Metallica songs.
Uh-huh.
And you guys, without using any of the words in the title, are going to try to get the caller to say that title. You're going to use descriptive words to try to get them to come up with the title.
Right.
Here's what happened when Dave tried to play the game last time.
All right. Let me read this. All right. let's see.
His contestant did not win, is
what
happened
last time.
Good use
of time?
Well, you have 45 seconds, so that was a bad use of the first 15.
That was all in the editing.
Dave put up a poll on our Facebook page who would win, and Ralph has 113, and you have like 9?
12.
Well, 12, including your own votes.
12, including
kind of
myself.
Sad.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's meet our contestants real fast. We'll talk to Shane first. He's on line 2. Hi, Shane. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Who do you want to be your partner? Say Ralph.
Ralph.
Okay, it's going to be Ralph.
Oh, I don't need this kind of pressure.
And then let's try Andrea. Andrea's on line 3. Who do you want to be your partner? Oh, sorry, it has to be Dave, Andrea.
Sorry.
However, since you clearly have the worst partner, we're going to make Shane and Ralph go first. At least that way you get a chance to listen and have a chance to see how the game is played. So again, 45 seconds on the clock. Ralph is trying to get you to say the name of 5 different Metallica song titles.
Got the intro standing by. We got the intro. You want it?
With a little game we like to call the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. 2 people enter the ring. Only 1 leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, Shane.
All right.
Listen up. You ready to play? Here we go.
Let's do it. Hello?
What?
All right, where's the time? If someone says, I'm sorry, but you don't accept their apology.
That's not true.
No, you don't accept their apology. He can keep, guessing. He can keep guessing. Pass. What you just said.
Oh, sad but true.
Nice.
Blank, 2, 3, 4. Fill in the blank.
1.
Sweet.
Okay, Superman is a... Batman is a...
Superhero.
Right? Second half of that.
Hero.
Not knight, but...
Pass.
Okay. Give me a home where the buffalo...
Wherever I may roam.
Okay. Nice. Go back. If you don't accept someone's apology, they are...
Unforgiven.
Oh, yes!
What's that?
The buzzer. Bell rang does not count.
I think I give it to him.
No,
no way. I think Ty goes to the...
No, Ty went bang, bang, and then he...
I was at the buzzer,
I thought
it
was close enough. B, what do you think? Shut up, Dave.
I saw at the buzzer, too. I saw
so
at the buzzer.
So what does that mean?
I say yes, we give it to him.
All right.
I see you cheating and stacking it.
I say yes. Shane came up with Unforgiven, Sad But True, 1, and Wherever I May Roam. He got 4 out of 5. Hero of the Day was the only one he did not get. That is a fantastic performance, Shane. We can go ahead and give you the tickets now, or we can let Andrea play.
I'll take
them. All right, let's give Andrea
play
a chance.
See what happens. So we got 4 out of 5. Dave's got to get all 5, right?
Yep.
To beat me. Okay.
You ready, Andrea?
I am ready.
Good luck.
Come on, Dave.
All right, this guy puts you to sleep.
I'm sorry, say that again?
This guy puts you to sleep.
Enter Sandman.
All right.
Ding dong.
Serena Delta.
Yeah.
Wow.
Poison. It's poison. Come on, it's poison.
Oh, cyanide.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Crap. Bayonets. What is it called? Let's see. Crap.
Come on, Dave.
Kermit. Kermit the Frog.
Muppet?
Yeah. But the rhymes with it. Come on, rhymes with
it.
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh!
We have a tie.
Tied up.
Booyah! Yeah.
Let me just say, first of all, that Andrea is the greatest contestant in the history of Title Fight. And I can't believe you came up with some of those with as little as Dave was giving you.
I rocked it, by the way.
And Dave needs to take back his booyah. That was hers.
I rocked it, by the way.
She was unbelievable.
Because of me.
She was unbelievable.
Not because of you.
But see, what happens, Dave, is when you say poison, 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 you can't just sit and wait for her to come with cyanide. You got to give her something else. You got to continue to try to help her. You know what I mean? All right. You did a great job there. Now, we do have. There's no way to give them both tickets, right? We don't have tickets for both.
I don't know.
Dave, you're the assistant producer. You know.
No, we don't.
We can't do that.
No,
that's a shame.
If we don't have them, we do have something in place in the event of a tie. But I just don't remember how it's worked. We do have a tiebreaker, which is where we count how many seconds it takes them to come up
but
with the answer
got
for
it
the
as a buzzer.
We have a tie. No, you're not listening. We have a tie, but we have a tiebreaker that we can play for each contestant.
There's another title.
I see what you're saying.
I think it's the fastest to get the tiebreaker song title determines who wins the tickets. If I recall correctly,
so there's
that's
one
how we play.
More song.
Mm-hmm.
We play for each contestant.
And it's a time alone.
That's right.
Whoever gets
the title fastest. Now, right. Kevin, I need you to keep track of the time when you hit the buzzer at the beginning, and then we'll see. So we're going to go back to Shane first. You're trying to come up with one more song title. Get it as quickly as you can, and then we'll see how you stack up against Andrea. You ready?
Good.
All right, good luck.
Not white, but...
Fade to Black?
There it is.
Wow. All right, 3 seconds. Good. Good.
All right.
Although
let's try.
I'm guessing Andrea just knows it already. She can just say it.
All right, Andrea. 3 seconds is the time to beat. Dave is ready. Are you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good luck.
Wow. You sound confident.
Gas is?
Say it again?
Gas is for what? Your car.
Oh, great.
Six, seven, gas.
Car.
Come on.
Eight,
what's gas for your car?
Nine,
ten, oh, yeah.
11.
Well, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Fuel was the right answer, but yes, it took you too many seconds. Congratulations, Shane. You're going to the Big Four this weekend.
Yes, I can't wait. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks to both of our contestants. Thanks to both of our players. This has been the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
It's not my fault.
I'd like to say
it. Hi, this is Dave Gahn from Depeche Mode.
We call it Master and Servant. Strangers, it's no good. Let me show you the world with my eyes. Dream on, be well. First and alone, Jesus. Precious and fragile things.
I just can't get it.
Let me tell you something about Dave Gahan. You ready?
Yes.
He's on the phone.
Hello.
Wow, well done.
Dave, how are you, man?
Hey. You're playing one of our old classics there.
Yes, we are. A lot of your old classics.
Yeah, that's a lot. It always kind of blows my mind when I, like, you know, I'm listening to the jingle that you put together there, all bits and pieces. It's sort of, I get a flash. I flash through my life, kind of thing.
You don't feel like you're your funeral, do you? I mean, that's not what we want.
It does. It has a memorial feel to it, doesn't it, Dave?
It does. It's like, yeah. So, just for the record...
Still alive.
When I do move on to the special place, you know, maybe you guys could put something together like that.
Certainly.
Already done.
Certainly. We'd be happy to. Yeah, we've got your obituary standing by, Dave, although you kind of been... You kind
you're not the first.
I know. Believe me. I know. There was a time when that would not have been funny. but now I think enough years have passed that we can joke about it, because every time we see you, we're shocked at how good you look, how healthy you are, and how, in retrospect, heroin must be the best thing a person can do to his body.
I sold my soul, my friend.
You yeah. must have. Listen, the reason Dave is on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he is always a welcome guest with us here on the program, is because he is going to be honored at an event. Now, this is an amazing event, because this is one of those things that you read about afterwards that all the celebrities are at, and you go, how come I never get to go to stuff like that? How does stuff like this happen that I'm not invited to? And it's the 7th annual Music Cares MAP Fund benefit that's happening May 6th, Club Nokia, downtown Los Angeles. And before we talk about the charity and talk about what's happening with Dave that night, listen to this. Ozzy Osbourne is going to be performing. Jane's Addiction is going to be performing. An acoustic performance from Paramore going to be there. She Wants Revenge has their DJ guy DJing during dinner, so you got that going on.
Nice.
Steven Tyler is going to be there, and he is presenting an award to you, Dave, for what? What are they honoring you for that night?
I've got absolutely no idea.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. It's a bunch of stuff. It's just kind of like my support to the foundation and to Music Cares and the whole MAP thing over the years.
Tell people who might not know what that is. Explain what Music Cares and the MAP thing is.
Okay, well, it's an organization that helps people like me, actually, that are less fortunate in lots of ways as well, and need help to get into maybe a treatment place or, some kind of sober living place. Or so just need help. And they're not going to be able to do it on their own. They can't afford to or whatever. And so it provides help for people that want to get into recovery and sort of change their life around.
Right. And it's sober living resources and addiction recovery treatment for those in the music community, no matter whether they have the money to pay for it or not. That's what you're trying to do, is give other people in the industry a hand up.
It's a lot more than that, but that's it in a nutshell.
Dave, how tough is your sobriety now, many years down the road? Are you the type of person who it's a constant reminder of? You still go to a lot of meetings. It's still something that you have to think about and work hard? Or is it at the point now where you've kind of been able to relax, and ease up on that a little bit?
To be honest, I choose to still go to a bunch of meetings. I enjoy doing it. I kind of socialize with a lot of people that now become very, good friends of mine over the years, and it becomes a different thing. It's not like I don't think about every day about, like, I got to go and get high or something. I don't have that obsession anymore, and, I just get on with my day-to-day life. To say that, I still don't have problems, that would be a lie. I mean, you don't... you got to keep working on the problems that got you there in the first place, basically.
Right, right.
But it's nowhere near as sort of savage as what it was, 15 years ago or something. And, in my experience, I like to go as well, and there's new people coming in all the time, there's young people, and I still see that, I have an influence that's important, and it helps to sort of other people as well to see that, they can also kind of make a change, even if things look really desperate.
Absolutely. And I think it's great that Steven Tyler, who's another rock and roll legend who's in many ways had lived the same journey you have, he's the one who's going to be handing you that award, because he's a guy that's out there that is showing how great his life is being sober and being healthy.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. I love Steven. We've met on a number of occasions, and yes, you're right. We probably have a lot more in common than you and I really know. But I'll tell you a story once. Apparently, he tried to what they call 12-step me.
He tried an intervention with you?
Yeah, years and years ago when I was, out there kind of thing. Apparently, we bumped into each other in some bar in Chicago or something. I guess Aerosmith were playing in the same town that night, and of course I was parked at the bar.
Sure.
After the show, and I don't move until I fall off the stool. That's my kind of thing.
Sure.
And,
kind of thing.
Yeah, or somebody, would carry me to bed. But and apparently he tells me he did have a long chat with me. I do vaguely remember it, but that was a long time before I kind of
stepped into trying to be sort of like sober.
But then did you say, but you're Steven Tyler?
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me?
You know what, I did used to do that. I used to do the whole thing of like, man, you're not very rock and roll. You know, it's like, what is your problem? You know, but I mean, I get it now. It's like, hey, what's the point of it all if it's just bringing you nothing but misery? If it's not fun anymore, then just stop doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that sounds easy, but and it's not. Don't get me wrong. You need help. You need the support of others. But you know, you can. You know, I couldn't see myself. Everybody else could, and it was like one of those things that it took me a long while. I'm pretty driven, and you know, I was going to try and sort of sort it out on my own, and it just that's one thing that I could not do.
Right. It's a great event, and it's the type of thing I can't believe we have tickets to give away to. But the 7th Annual Music Cares MAP Fund Benefit is happening on Friday, May 6th, Club Nokia, downtown Los Angeles. Yes, you can buy tickets. You can go to Ticketmaster if you want to be there in person to see all the people we've described, including Ozo Motley performing live, Jane's Addiction, Paramore. Or we can give away some tickets right now free at 1-800-520-1067. I know we have a couple of pairs. Dave, great to catch up with you. You sound fantastic, as always. I know the Depeche Mode fans who have been in touch with us when they heard you were going to be on are not going to let us get off the phone without asking you one more question, and that is, where are you right now in the process of what Depeche Mode does?
Well, actually, we're going to we're about to put out like a remix record that comes out in June. It's like a second installment, really, of what we did like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a couple of interesting videos to go along with some of the remixes there. There's a couple of remixes of Personal Jesus that are pretty cool. And that's coming out in June. Other than that, I know that Martin's been busy sort of doing some stuff, some writing. I've been busy writing. I'm actually writing really a lot.
Why don't you two get together and write?
Well,
how know, about that?
That's only ever happened once.
Oh, and
it
yes.
only, ever, it only ever happened sort of by accident as well. Martin just happened to have this sort of piece of music that he was playing around with, and I was listening to it, and I went back to the hotel room and kind of wrote words and melodies to it and came back, and we ended up recording it. But that's... Look, it's something that I still think is that could possibly happen. Certainly, Martin's become a lot more open in his way of working over the years, and you know he's great in the studio. I mean, yeah, he's had to take a lead role when it comes to being a musician in the band, and you know, I think that you know probably actually I'm going to see Mart at the MAP thing. He's
All right.
coming down to watch me perform, and. There's a bunch of my mates out there in Los Angeles. And so I'll see him there. But I wouldn't be surprised if by towards the end of this year, we're certainly sitting down, he and I, to have a chat about making a record.
Fantastic. Great news, Dave. Have a wonderful time Friday night, May 6th. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
You too. Take care, man.
Thank you. The 8th Annual National Grilled Cheese Invitational is happening, and it's happening this weekend. Ralph Garman, I know you're going to want to stick around. We're talking to Tim Walker, the founder of the Grilled Cheese Invitational, coming up right after the top of the hour.
What happened to when he used to come in and make us grilled cheese?
You think I'm going to want to stick around because you guys are going to talk to a guy about grilled cheese sandwiches?
We're talking to him about the competition this year. Okay. Every year,
you're
every year
to a
there's
guy
something
about a
new.
Bunch of different people, not even him, making grilled cheese sandwiches.
This year's hot cheesy goodness will be one for the ages, Ralph.
It's like the X Games. There's something new. Somebody's
That's
got a
right.
new trick.
You know
up
what
their
it's
sleeves.
Not like? No, it's the least thing like on the planet.
What is it?
The
not?
X Games.
Okay, all right.
That's what it's not remotely like. You know what it is like? A lot of people putting bread and cheese together and making sandwiches.
Grilled cheese is good, though.
Don't get me wrong. I love the food.
Okay.
I would eat one if it was here.
Okay.
I wouldn't listen to two yahoos talking to a guy about grilled cheese sandwiches.
You don't know.
You don't know, man. You don't know, man.
It's the inner
How
circle.
How out could you be it's of the content bring it, for the radio
they're,
show
they're
you
bringing,
would talk to a guy about grilled cheese sandwiches?
They're bringing tasty cheese to the people this weekend, and we want to find out more. Tim Walker joins us. First, though, Ralph Servant, the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
I think you just answered your own question, by the way.
Stop pretending like it's something.
You won't be able to believe what this guy's going to say about grilled cheese. Back to you, Ralph.
All right. I'm going to listen.
All right.
And if it's not scintillating, I'm going to come here and I'll punch you right in the nads.
Well, punch Beer Mug in
no,
the
I'm
nads.
No, punching you. I'm looking at you, Blondie. You're the
beer
one.
Beer Mug is our proxy, though.
I got punched in the nads at Coachella. It's still a little sore.
Well, as well you should have.
I deserved it.
Lindsay Lohan's in the news. Busy 2 days for Lindsay.
You know, she was supposed to make that movie about John Gotti, the legendary mobster out of New York, with John Travolta playing Gotti, with Lindsay playing his daughter, Victoria.
Right. And she kind of forced her way into that movie, if I recall correctly, right?
Well, no. Producer Mark Fiore was talking to her about it, and she appeared at a press conference alongside Victoria Gotti, and she actually knows the family. So it looks like proceedings were moving along nicely, and she was going to be the star, one of the stars of that film.
All right.
It had been pretty much a foregone conclusion it was going to happen. Then, the producer yesterday says, you know what? I only go on merry-go-rounds with my kids. Forget this. She's not in the movie. It's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
Then, 3 hours later, they say, congratulations, Lindsay Lohan's back in the movie. She's in the movie.
What?
Now, instead of playing Victoria Gotti, the daughter of John Gotti, she'll be playing Kim Gotti, the wife of John Gotti Jr.
Okay.
Not only that, but she's got another... She's got a two-picture deal with the same producer, the guy who said he would not work with her and he was done negotiating with her.
My head hurts.
How do you think she accomplished that?
No, apparently, Lindsay,
can't
was,
see
so,
your hand motions
Lindsay
or
was so upset
yeah.
that she was going to lose the role that she stepped in, kind of pushed her management team aside and said, look, we got to get this done. What do we have to do to make this right? And
really?
She sort of took control of her own career, which is a desperate move, but she's in...
Maybe she
desperate situation.
It, yeah.
So,
how many miles have been on this thing?
Oh, come on! Speaking of movies, Ben Affleck has pulled out of Baz Luhrmann's remake of The Great Gatsby due to scheduling problems. He would have played Tom Buchanan in the film had it worked out, but apparently not anymore. Looks like they are offering the role to Bradley Cooper because, as you know, there are only two actors left in the world: Bradley Cooper and Ryan Reynolds. They must star in everything.
That's correct.
Leonardo DiCaprio has been cast as millionaire Jay Gatsby, Carey Mulligan as Daisy Buchanan, and Tobey Maguire as Nick Carraway. So it looks like Bradley Cooper will be joining the cast in lieu of Ben Affleck. So
that's a step up to me. This just in at the Grilled Cheese Invitational this year. There's a costume contest, there's a cheese calling contest, and there's grilled cheese poetry. Back to you.
Kevin, I want you to listen carefully what your guy just said.
I know.
There's going to be cheese calling.
But who did... But cheese punch him in the nads.
Calling.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese poetry.
Well, that I'm into.
And a costume contest.
If I recall correctly, they have grilled cheese haiku. If I recall correctly, they have that. And that makes it good.
You're going to be talking to a guy about grilled cheese. That's what I'm saying.
That is going
to
happen.
You can be a part of it. Look, you don't have to be on the outside looking in. That's you can actually participate if you want.
I can't be far enough outside. And I don't even want to look in. I want you to pull the blinds.
Be the highlight of the day.
Yeah, you're like the fat married couple lives next to me that has sex with their blinds open. I want you to pull the blinds. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I just want to avert my eyes and not know what's happening.
I don't know why we wasted our time talking to Dave Gahan. We could have given that time also to the Grilled Cheese Invitational.
I'm checking out... whatever big boy's talking about next break, that's for sure.
Same thing.
Welcome to the neighborhood. That's who's going to go.
Grilled cheese.
Welcome to the neighborhood, grilled cheese.
Yeah.
And Snooki has changed her way of life, according to Us Weekly magazine.
Nope.
How many miles have been on this thing?
She has ditched her party lifestyle.
Raise your hand if you're full of crap.
She has dedicated herself to looking good and dropping serious weight. She has hired the personal trainer used by Victoria's Secret models.
No
longer eating fried pickles, and apparently has slimmed down considerably. Instead of going out at night, now she spends her nights at Gold's Gym.
Shut up, Snooki.
She's got a brand new lifestyle. She's a brand new woman.
What's this about, Ralph? Why? It was working for her before.
Because she wants to further her career as an actress, and she wants to get into top shape match her beauty.
The people who work with Victoria's Secret models have never had to start at Snooki.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
She knows she can't do anything about being a midget, right? No matter how much weight she loses, she's still going to be like 4'10".
Still going to be fug, too.
That's true. There's not much you can do with that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. James McAvoy, very talented actor, is 32 years old. Nicole Sullivan is 41. Robert Smith of The Cure celebrates his 52nd birthday. Andy McDowell is 53. Tony Danza turned 60. And punk icon Iggy Pop is 64. You were talking to Dave Gahan earlier about how heroin apparently is the fountain of youth, the secret of life.
As long as you,
because he couldn't
it.
Look any better, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Iggy Pop at 64 looks no different than Iggy did at 34. Now, he hasn't aged a bit. Still ripped, cut, rolled around the stage, shirtless, just rocking out. 64 years old.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Look at Navarro. Same thing. Couldn't look any better.
Couldn't have done more heroin.
Weiland.
Weiland, same thing.
So what are we saying here?
Start doing heroin.
All right.
That's the moral of this story.
I don't think that's the moral, but okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on, let's get right to this. You know what I'm talking about?
No,
let's,
I'm with you, man.
Come on,
I'm with you.
It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
It's unbelievable how fast time flies. I can't believe it's been a year already since we talked to our friend Tim Walker, who is the founder of the Grilled Cheese Invitational, having its 8th National Grilled Cheese Invitational, second for Southern California, and it's happening this Saturday starting at 11 o'clock at Los Angeles Center Studios downtown. Tim, how you been, man?
I've never been better. Thanks for having me.
how has the exciting world of competitive grilled cheese making gone for you the last 365 days? Is it the type of thing that you do all year long in the off season, or do you just kind of ramp up as you start to get closer and closer to April?
Well, to be honest, after the event, I go into seclusion for 2 weeks, and then I begin a heavy regimen of squat thrust that goes for about 4 months.
Right.
Just to build up, you know, the resistance in order to handle such a large amount of cheese.
Of course, yeah.
Now, are you, you don't still compete anymore as the founder and the guy who kind of runs the event. You're not actually out there, you know, like down in the kitchen anymore, right?
No, technically, actually, I've never competed in the event. I'm the one who started it all, saying I made the best grilled cheese, and so far I haven't had to prove that.
What? You're a king without a crown.
Wait a minute. You said I'm going to start the Grilled Cheese Invitational because I make the best grilled cheese in the world, and no one said, hey, we'd like to taste that?
Well, to be honest, that's what I said. But even from the first time we did the event back in 2003 in my loft in downtown L.A., I was always so caught up in running the event that I didn't even get a chance to grill. And well, that certainly hasn't changed now that we're expecting some thousand people.
It's a, how many?
10,000.
10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
More space, more vendors, more free samples, more entertainment, a combined total, guys, of over 30,000 grilled cheese sandwiches available for your eating pleasure on Saturday's Grilled Cheese Invitational. I think it's only a matter of time before this becomes first an unofficial holiday like 420 or Groundhog Day, and then an official holiday like Christmas.
I look forward to that, actually, because then, you know, I mean, look at what Christmas did for Santa Claus. He was just a nobody with a beard before Santa.
Exactly. Christmas. Excellent point, Tim. Now, Kevin made a point, and I think he might have been joking, but there was a kernel of truth in his remarks a few minutes ago that just like with the X Games, they go away for a year, and then they come back, and everything's different. You've got new young whippersnappers who are coming up with new tricks to try all the time. You never know what you're going to get. Are there some things that you're excited about that are going to be unveiled for the first time this weekend?
Actually, yes. Chef Eric Greenspan has decided to save the Jews.
I don't know what that means, but
excuse me.
Explain.
Because unfortunately, the event takes place on Passover. It was the only time we could actually schedule the event in April.
Ah.
A lot of Jewish people can't attend because they can't have the whole dairy thing and all that.
I see.
Okay.
But, well, you can't have dairy and leavened bread, I guess.
All right.
But there are rules.
Of course.
But Eric has decided to come to the salvation of the Jewish community by offering a Passover-friendly grilled cheese on matzah.
How about that?
See? All right.
We didn't even know that sort of thing could exist until Greenspan put it together.
I can't believe that counts as a real grilled cheese sandwich if it's not actually on bread, by the way.
Well, it's we'll let it slide because, you know, we didn't mean to do it on this day. It's
right, no, I understand.
Trying to make it inclusive for everybody.
Yeah, trying to be accommodating to your peeps, right? All right, what about the competitive world of cheese calling? That seems new to me this year. What's that all about?
That's basically about...
Here, cheese!
Exactly, yes. It's like hog calling, but it's better because it involves different types of cheese. And it's just an opportunity for everyone who really wants to get on a microphone and yell different names of cheese.
That's going
to
be the worst. however long it takes possible.
Well, actually,
I love American.
Next,
we schedule.
I love Swiss. Next,
we schedule for the time of the day where the Beer and Wine Garden's been open for a little while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which kind of loosens up the yelling, we found.
What are the various categories that people can compete to win the grilled cheese award this weekend?
Oh, sure. We've started a new category this year called Love American Style.
Okay.
That's the first one. That's just your standard white bread, orange cheese, butter. No fancy bells or whistles or wristwatches necessary.
Well, how hard is it to make that? And why do you need a wristwatch?
Well, that's what's difficult about it is you only have such bare ingredients that it really becomes the skill of the cook that makes the difference.
Yes. That's how you're going to shine in that category is if you can really grill that one up the best. And the next category is the missionary category, which is any type of bread, any type of butter, any type of cheese. So you could have like a rosemary sourdough on that one or like pepper jack or something like that.
Sounds good. I'm so hungry. My mouth is watering just listening to this conversation.
And then there's the Kama Sutra category, which is any type of bread, butter, and cheese, but with additional ingredients on the inside.
Right.
And then there's the Honey Pot, which is the dessert category, which is any type of bread, butter, and cheese. You can have additional ingredients, but it's got to be a sweet-flavored sandwich.
How could there be a better event than this? This sounds amazing.
Is there still the grilled cheese haiku competition?
There is the grilled cheese poetry competition. That's been taking off. People really, I think we're even going to have a couple of raps this year.
Grilled cheese rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me?
And we're also having the best damn marching band ever at the event this year, a band called March 4th. They're coming down from Portland. They're kind of like a post-apocalyptic marching band, which is perfect for the event.
A post-apocalyptic marching band.
Yeah. What's the tie-in? What are they going to be performing? Will it have anything to do with, like, are they going to do personal cheeses and songs like that?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I have to put in that request.
Nope.
That's totally true. No, I think they're just going to be causing mayhem, walking around with their instruments and trying to drum up support. I guess I don't know.
Well, this sounds like it's going
to
be.
It's kind of like when you give whiskey to a gorilla. You just kind of have to sit back and watch what happens.
It's a circus. It's a zoo. It's a nightmare. But it's also the best time you'll have all year long. It's the Grilled Cheese Invitational. It's happening this Saturday, April 23rd, from 11 till 6 at the Los Angeles Center Studios downtown. You can go online to grilledcheeseinvitational.com. It's $12 advance, $15 at the door. Mm-hmm. Tim, it's always great to catch up with you, man. I wish I could be there in person this year, but one day. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You guys ready to get it on?
Absolutely.
Adam Carolla, adamcarolla.com, playing May 21st at the World Term with special guest, his homosexual lover, Jimmy Kimmel. Also just added June 4th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. All tickets and information at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, how you feeling, man?
Yeah, get it on.
What's going on, Adam? What are you doing? What are you doing with your time? You writing another book? What are you doing?
I'm writing another book. I'm working on another audio book. I got a show on the Speed Channel that I just started working on, and an animated pilot on Fox that I'm starting on, plus all these live shows.
So for a guy without a job, you couldn't be any busier.
Yeah. It's great. But, you know, the thing about it is, it's weird. The more jobs you have, the less you get paid. But it comes around. So what it is you get paid the most for having one job.
Right.
You get paid the least for having three or four jobs. Like when you talk to the guys in the NFL, they
right.
go, my mom will work five jobs just to keep bread on the table. That's bad. But then at a certain point, when you get to eight or nine jobs, you get rich again. That's when you get on a lot of boards and you do a lot of consulting and stuff like that.
And you're heading for that?
Yeah, I'm still in between.
Okay.
I'm still in between the one and the six jobs where I'm not really getting paid.
Okay.
But as soon as I get to nine or ten jobs, look out, world.
Yep, you are practically Seacrest. All right, it is Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means the Ace Man joins us for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three, making my way down to number one, I experienced the highs and the lows that TMZ had to offer this week. I was getting off a plane in Burbank, and there was a TMZ guy following me all the way out to the card, and I thought, what the hell goes on with this? These guys, and they're in your face, and they don't pay you, and you got to zit, and they get to jump out of the bushes, and what the hell is going on? And then I spoke to some guys over at Telepictures, and they said, oh, yeah, they got the flight manifest.
What?
Yeah, and I thought, well, that's awesome. Nice job, Homeland Security. So you're saying I'm at the bar in Phoenix, and I'm watching the 67-year-old salty sea captain with the beard down to his knees being asked for ID before he can get his doers on the rocks. And note that we got all the secure in the world for that. But when it comes to the flight manifest, yes, I was sitting in a meeting at Telepictures, and they said, oh, yeah, we get all the flight manifests, so we know who's on every flight.
That's sweet.
That's how it comes. And I was like, this is an outrage. I can't believe you're getting this information in this day of, you know, protecting your security and all this Patriot Act BS and everything else. And then I got home that night, and I wasn't on TMZ, and I was more outraged.
Oh, you were
like,
very upset.
What am I, chopped liver?
Well, I was going to ask how they picked you in the first place. But
that's a good point.
But then they didn't use it.
No, and then I went home, and then I slept that night thinking, you know what, that was what we call an evergreen in the business. We didn't talk about anything topical. So when they need me, they'll break the glass in case of comedy emergency, and they'll pull me out. And then 2 days later, I was leaving the Arclight Theater. Out comes the TMZ guy again.
Again, I hold a sermon for the guy for 20 minutes on the staircase of the parking garage. And again, I don't make the cut that night.
Well, Adam, I don't know if you've ever heard the word soundbite, but you don't exactly give them.
Well, that's true, but really, how much Kardashian talk can you get? And then you end up watching the show, and you see some celebrity you've never heard of talking about nothing, and I'm saying the only thing worse than being jumped by TMZ is then not making the cut.
Yeah.
Well, if there is a bright side at all, let's think about all the fresh interview tape they're going to have if you have some sort of untimely death. They'll be ready with an obit package.
There'll be a special two-hour edition of TMZ, Adam Rants by the airport. Yeah, I sort of feel like the victim of a gang rape where the last biker goes, you know what, I'm cool. I don't know. I'm just going to have an old duels and listen to little Leonard Skinner. We all right? And I'm like, come on. Jesus Christ. Number two, if you watch MTV or just about any of these reality shows, you'll see everyone walking around with T-shirts with the black gaffer's tape over the Nike swoosh whatever it is.
Yeah, they can't show that.
And I just think about, you know, we got CGI and we have all these great techniques and everyone's a pro. And the whole time I've been in TV, that is their solution to everything. Like, oh, you have a shirt. What's the shirt say? It says Reebok on it. All right, let's put a big thing of black tape across the front of it. Well, the shirt's white. Don't you think that's going to distract people? I don't care. We have one color tape. It's wide. It's black. It's called gaffer's tape. It'll never come off your shirt. And we'll just put a big swoosh like the old porn magazine
right.
back in the 70s when they just put the thing in front of the chick's boobies. All I'm saying is television. How about you have a box of multicolored T-shirts where someone could reach into one and grab a beige one and go, hey, toss this one on instead. Or, better yet, multicolored gaffer's tape.
Sure.
What color's your shirt? Yellow? Good. I have a yellow roll of gaffer's tape. MTV should just be called the Gaffer's Tape Network because everyone's just walking around with gaffer's tape all over their shoes and all over their shirts. And again, just get a color that mixes in a little better than black. For the love of Christ, what year is it? And number one, Charles Manson did yet another interview from, and by the way, we don't need the part where he did it from his prison cell. We understand it's not Charles Manson from the south of France on the French Riviera.
He's had the same location for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm not thinking P. Diddy's yacht when I'm here. It's not like I sat down with J-Lo. Where? I sat down with Manson. Where is he this time, that old globetrotter? You never know where he's going to pop up. He's like Matt Lauer. No, I know. It's from his prison cell. And he did this long-winded thing on global warming, and I thought, this has got to be the greatest argument for capital punishment. 40 years after this guy killed people, we have to hear him pontificate about something that didn't exist 30 years after he killed everybody. And by the way, of course, in Charles's mind, there's global warming because everyone's just driving around a 72 Pontiac Bonneville. He has no idea what a Prius is. Let's kill this old F before he gives another interview on something we don't care about.
I'm fine with that. I think the world would be a better place.
And then what are the guys who are behind? What are all the tree huggers that are into global warming? What are they supposed to do with this information? You see? Charles Manson. Okay, forget it.
As always, an excellent point, Adam. See Mr. Carolla on stage with Jimmy Kimmel Saturday, May 21st. Tickets are on sale for that and all the great shows, including just added June 4th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. AdamCarolla.com is where you go. Ace, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Ralph, you're missing out by dropping American Idol, man.
Am I really?
Made a bad choice. Haley last night did the Adele song. So good. And I'm not even a fan of Haley. So good. And your boy James did Muse last night. And it was so good.
I'm sure it was great. I'm sure he did
Bellamy,
a great cover of
Matt
a Muse
Bellamy
song.
Is a huge fan of his and had given him advice on how to sing it, on where to take it, where to take it up a notch. How about that?
How about I'd rather listen to Muse sing it?
There's only some way to hear Adele and Muse sing those songs.
And they do it better.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just saying you hopped off at the wrong time because there's a lot of talent left on the stage. Just because your girlfriend Pia left doesn't mean the show is over, Ralph. That's
the
what
show
I'm
in there. General is just sort of getting dull. Pia was the last thing that was going to keep me interested. But now every week all the judges do is just praise. It's oh, you're so good. Oh, you can only get better. Oh, I think you can be even better. But that was great. And then Steven Tyler invariably says, "Oh, you changed my life by doing that in front of me. That thank you so much. You're a beautiful thing, and your spirit is amazing. It backed up over a truck, and then you had a blowout. And then and I'm like, okay, does anyone have anything to say anymore? I miss Simon. I just miss Simon.
Yeah. I think we've lost Ralph because he's turned on grilled cheese, which is
I love grilled cheese.
He's turned on Weird Al.
I don't like hearing you talk about grilled cheese.
Who is God? And now he's turned on American Idol. He's just turned on everything. You might as well just admit you're a communist at this point.
Well, you know what? I'm not a liar like Weird Al Yankovic.
How
when yesterday
dare you?
He said, "Oh, Lady Gaga won't let me release this parody of Born This Way. Oh, the children. Oh, all the money I was going to raise for charity. It's horrible. I wasted so much of my time on this thing. It was going to be my new single. Poor me. Poor Weird Al." Then Lady Gaga today says, I never said he couldn't do it. I haven't heard the song. I love it. Feel free. Go nuts, Al. Now what? Now what, liar,
so
Al?
What's the truth?
Let's start.
How do we know?
Let's forget the Weird Al Yankovic part. How about the lying Al Yankovic part? Let's change his name officially, shall we?
I don't see why you don't put the blame on Gaga's manager, who is the one that gave Weird Al the bad information. He's the one who lied to Al. Al didn't lie to us, knowingly.
Who was the one who was bitching publicly on the internet? Boo-hoo-hoo, poor me. Oh, I can't release a record. Oh, feel bad for me. No, sir. No, I will not, sir, especially when you lie.
He did lie.
Did Gaga say he couldn't release the song?
Nope.
Did he say that Gaga said he couldn't release the song?
Yes.
Lie!
Per her manager, though. Her manager told him that. Then, once the thing all blew up yesterday, Gaga listened to it and said it's great, which it is. Go ahead and put it out. Now it's win-win.
In case you haven't heard it yet, it actually is a very entertaining parody song of Born This Way called I Perform This Way.
I'm sure my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can fight me, baby, I perform this way. I might be wearing Swiss cheese or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way.
You liar!
My little monster pain. Life's cause I perform this way. Baby, I perform this way.
Perform this way.
Oh, don't worry, I'm okay. Hey, I just perform this way. I'm not crazy, I perform this way.
So you got that.
It's pretty funny.
Al's good. Al's good at what he does.
Good. It's a shame he's such a liar.
He's not.
Bean loves Ralph.
Ruins it for everyone.
Bean loves Al so much.
He does.
Because Al's the best person in the world ever of all time.
Right.
Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Do I Diddy Combs is in the news. Apparently, he's been sniffing around New York looking for nightclubs to host an after party when he plays New York this Friday. But here's the thing. Nobody wants to pay him for the...
What?
Pay him for the privilege of hosting his after party.
He wants to be paid to go someplace for an after party?
He wants $75,000.
From the club?
From the club for him to have his after party after his show there.
Are you not entertained?
Correct.
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would like to be paid $75,000 to go to lunch someplace after this show.
Apparently he found a place in New Jersey that's willing to pay him $75,000 for the honor of having him do his after party there.
In Jersey?
Yes. That's not all. That wasn't enough.
He
also needed a Bentley Continental to drive him to the party after the show. And he has to arrive in New Jersey via private helicopter from the venue. That's the rider on his contract. The other thing, he's not going to do a show there, right? He's
right.
Just going to drink Cristal there.
And not talk to anyone.
Or Chirac, or whatever he's drinking these days. And not talk to anyone. Just let hot girls behind the velvet rope.
Who could do this?
Well, you can, apparently.
Why would... are they going to get $75,000 worth of publicity out of his appearance there? Probably.
I guess.
I don't know.
You could buy a lot of publicity for $75,000.
Diddy's not.
And this story doesn't have the name of the club in it, so they're not getting any publicity from this particular reading of the story. So, more people are making money they don't deserve. Paulie D of Jersey Shore fame. According to Life and Style magazine, they did a little digging, and it turns out he is pulling in $500,000 a month.
No!
A month!
This is all through his private DJ gigs. The MTV show, of course, the salary for that. His Miracle Whip commercial that's currently airing. His iPad app. and, of course, his line of greeting cards.
What?
Line of greeting cards?
Yes.
What kind of BS is that?
Happy birthday, yo. You're all GTL.
If you download a Pauly D app on your iPad should explode.
You're a loser.
There should be some sort of detonation device in an iPad that if you download the wrong thing.
Self-destruct.
We can take you out. Speaking of, Snooki apparently has ditched her party lifestyle ways. She's losing a ton of weight, according to Us Weekly magazine. She's hired a personal trainer used by Victoria's Secret models.
Nope.
That is like hiring Jackson Pollock to paint your van. That's like getting some super talented artist just to slap a coat of paint on your Prius. Just a waste of time and talent for the Victoria's Secret model trainer to be working on Snooki. Because she'll still be her when it's all over, right?
There is
how
that,
much weight
yeah.
she loses.
Yeah, she's still going to be Snooki.
Reportedly, she had to give up her favorite food, fried pickles. Oh, I bet she's down in plenty of pickles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I think I do.
Wink, wink.
I know, I see you,
you
winking.
You know what I'm saying? You see
yeah.
me winking over
uh-huh.
here? Pickles.
Yep.
Pickles. Pickles.
Now you're looking at
down
your crotch.
Here. Pickles.
I get it.
Pickles.
I got it.
Right?
Message received.
What looks like a pickle? This does, right? That's what I'm saying.
It's small and green?
How dare you? I have a big, tasty deli pickle down there. Big kosher deli pickle.
How can we get out of this conversation?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's talk about some Weird Al and some grilled cheese.
Okay, better. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Iggy Pop is 64 years old. Tony Danza turns 60. Annie McDowell is 53. Robert Smith of The Cure is 52. Nicole Sullivan, very talented actress and comedian, is 41. And James McAvoy, The Chronicles of Narnia and Wanted. He is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have we want to talk to people who would vote for Donald Trump for president. If you believe that he's really going to run for president, there are people out there who would vote for him.
Gary Busey's one, I know that.
Yeah, well.
He has the added benefit of already being a celebrity and well-known to many Americans, but he currently is leading most polls among likely Republican voters. I mean, it's early still, but he definitely has some support out there.
Come on now.
He does.
He does.
This is real.
On. Look, I'd vote for him because I want it to be the Gold House, you know, and the Trump, Air Trump. He would ruin everything. It would be awesome.
He lost me when he said, when we went to Libya, we should have just taken the oil, just taken over the country. I was like, oh, that's really not the American way, is it?
See,
it is the American way, though, from a long time ago, when the victor gets the spoils, though. That's what he wants to go back to. He wants to go back to, if you win, you get everything.
But my point being is, with muskets then.
My point is, it's so far away from the election, it's easy for people to go, oh, yeah, I'd vote for him, and they don't really know. And then when it gets down to it, of him really being the president, I'm the only one that would probably still vote for him, because
yes,
I vote comedy.
You do.
Mixmaster Mike will be in the studio with us tomorrow. Very excited about that. From the Anaheim Ducks, talking hockey playoffs, Corey Perry. And we got the movie beat because it's Friday. And we've got Liz, our royal wedding correspondent. 1 week out, people.
Oh, can't wait to talk to Liz.
Only 1 week out. And we've got your Big Four tickets all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and